performance to risk it. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah. Even you.
And we're back after a week of not being back.
From outer space, you know, back from outer space. You know, like, oh, ho, 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 staying alive. It's, never mind.
I gotcha.
All right.
And the Bee Gees were not amazing. Anyway, you're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu if you know what you're doing. If they want to call in, how do they do that, Matt?
I don't remember. You call at 503-943-7121 if you're off campus, and if you're on campus, just pick up a phone, dial 7121, and we will answer.
Four little numbers to last a lifetime.
If you want to email us tonight, where can you do that, Kyle?
You could go ahead and call us and find out where to email. Anyway, you can email us at anamorph_radio@yahoo.com. We check that repeatedly. We now have a computer in the studio, so we can check it on the fly. Just be like, hey, we need something to talk about. Let's see if anybody talked to us. Oh, haha, they said something funny. And then we'll laugh. You'll get credit. And we'll move on. It'll be great.
You probably won't get credit, though.
Probably not. If it's really funny, we'll try and play it off like it was us.
Yeah, but you'll know it was you, so it's okay.
Well, yeah. Anyway, as you can tell, we're waiting for What's-His-Face to get here so that he doesn't get upset. And I'm betting money, a finite amount of money, on CJ coming in here and having us repeat what we've already done. So I'm really tempted. Yeah.
Trying.
I'm really tempted not to do anything, not even like a recap. But then we'll just be bored. So let's do a recap. What happened last week?
Last week, Cassidy was, and Tobias, I think, were hanging out with the gang.
Just chilling.
Like, villains. And...
Booyah.
Represent. And they fainted.
Oh, yeah, they passed out. They were like...
And they almost...
Imagine a hawk fainting in mid-flight.
I think he was sitting on a rafter, but okay.
It'd be a lot cooler if he was flying.
Yeah, they fainted, and there was like this message with like pictures of the ocean, and and like come, I'm almost out of power and stuff. Weird.
I'm dying.
Not so clear cut as that, but pretty much, I'm in trouble. Help me! And there was like water, and it was all very confusing. And they woke up, and Jake is like, well, on the news, there's been some stuff about, like, a guy seeing a spaceship over the ocean and some pieces of spaceship being found.
Pieces falling together.
And they think maybe an Andalite ship has crash-landed in the ocean.
Because Jake, with his photographic memory, remembered a character that he might have seen of the Andalite alphabet inside a destroyed Andalite ship. Or it wasn't destroyed at that point, but in the ship, when he went and got the cool morphing cube that they got all their powers from, and incidentally, the guy that was on the news held up a piece with the same character on it. So now, we are off in the ocean as dolphins on our way to this mysterious fellow.
Right, we went to the gardens and acquired some dolphin morphs.
Yep.
From dolphins named after the
cast of
Friends.
I accidentally just started saying that we were the ones that were doing this. Like, we were characters.
It's
I think
cool.
I'd make
we're
it
along
animal.
For the ride. We're in Cassie's head. We're like Yerks, but we can't take over people's brains.
Yeah. So technically, wouldn't she be like the Yerk? Because she'd be doing all the actions and stuff, and we're just going, no, don't do that. Gosh, you're so corny.
But it's her body, too.
Well, as far as we know. I mean, we could be her real conscience. And then she's the Yerk making us believe that we're not.
If you'd like to hear more on this subject, please call in.
Or email us so that we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yes. Acquire dolphin morphs from the gardens.
Yes. Yeah.
Named after the cast of Friends. Boo.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're in the ocean and we're frolicking and suddenly we come across...
I'm frolicking.
A humpback whale being attacked.
Humpback whale.
Being attacked by sharks. And we're like... And the group is like, oh, no, a great one is being attacked by sharks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because... Basically, what's going on with the, you know, how, you know, morphs, you gotta get used to the animal brain. Well, dolphins are pretty smart creatures, I guess. And so, what's going on is that they think they're kind of in control, but at the same time, they're being controlled by the dolphin morph. And so, like, yeah, I don't know, like, their consciences are so close that they can't even tell if they're not being them. And so, they've been, like, screwing around, they've wasted about a half hour just playing in the water, and then they found these sharks and automatically assumed that they needed to help out this whale, and so they did. And what we ended with was, refer to the book so I don't mess it up, we were miles out in the ocean, and Marco could not hope to swim back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because they saw the wound... And I think I would have screamed if I could have. His tail had almost been bitten off. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he missed or something, and the shark was... Like, right on his tail.
Oh!
Yes! That's exactly what he did. Ooh, cool. We're getting a play shelf out of the way now?
No.
Oh, this is just for fun.
Yeah, it's ambience, kind
of. Nice. Anyway, so while this ambience is going on, we're just going to, you know, BS a little bit. And that stands for bypass seconds.
All right. It looks like we've got an email already from Mallory Fry.
Hi, Mallory.
She's on campus. Let's see. She suggests taping the show and turning it into a podcast that can be downloaded on iTunes. For two reasons. For those of us who can't listen to the whole thing because it is too late at night, and talk about a huge fan base. I think she means the Animorphs fan base and not the Animorphs, the radio drama fan base.
Aren't they the same thing?
Uh-oh.
Quick, shut the door. We're not here yet. I'm going to act like someone else. And that's all we have today for the amazing show before Animorphs show.
It's a good music show before
us. And yeah, so you can go ahead and...
Oh,
tune
no,
into my
there's someone
later.
At the door of the good music show.
Weird. Let's see who it is. Oh, yeah. Oops. I guess it wasn't that funny because we were actually locked out today because they assumed that we didn't want... The radio drama uncensored. Anyway, they assumed that we didn't want to do our show, and so they locked everybody out of the building. So we got public safety to come break in for us,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, speaking of public safety, you know what this radio show is?
Did you actually... Oh.
This,
we can't actually say that if it's not true.
Yeah, we can't actually say that this is the official radio of public safety.
We can't
say that.
We can't say that we're the official radio station of public safety.
That is a horrible idea, because they'll be like, public safety, what's your emergency? Hi!
We'll be like, you want to listen to a really cool show? You're maxing out.
That's normal. It's okay to vibrate around the table. As I jump off the charts.
Anyway, so, Basically,
actually, I've got like.
Basically, we were caught up now, and. No, not yet. We were saving that. But you don't even know what we got going.
We're supposed to check our email. Did we check it? Oh, yeah.
That would be
our email. She was asking me to check that, so we checked the email.
Okay.
So.
It is quite warm in here.
Yeah.
Why? What am I doing?
Oh, yeah, you're... Hello? I can't hear anything now.
What am I doing?
I don't know what you're doing, CJ. What are you doing?
Oh, my camera's out
there. Why did we bring it?
It's here anyway. What am I doing over here?
You walked there!
Well, Kyle yelled at me.
You
walked
over there.
Okay, so that was...
Why can't you hear our voices?
I can.
You can hear our voices.
I can hear our voices.
Why can't we hear our voices?
What are we listening to right now?
Can you hear me?
Oh, good God, that's loud.
No, my headphones are loud. CJ, take off one of... Take off one of the... My headphones are loud, so... You gotta...
We're on the air right now, aren't we?
No, we're pretending.
I'm just wondering.
I can't hear anything with these headphones.
None at all?
None.
I'm catching us. Loud and clear. We're coming through that.
We're definitely on the mic because whenever I talk, it spikes, and that usually happens.
Check what chords you're going to where. Okay, let's read. Matt, let's read.
Okay, let me put on some.
So you don't have anything? Oh, that's because you're not on.
Wow! Now I can hear.
Ow!
I told you to. No,
it hurts.
Hi guys.
It hurts because you care.
Okay, up a little bit.
Is that up?
There we go. That's good.
I can't hear you. That's fine. Nobody's calling, guys. I feel lonely.
That's okay. Chapter. Matt, that's your job.
Chapter 12.
So when are we going to unleash the terror that is the terror?
I thought we'd do it after a PSA break, you know?
I think that's a good comeback and start ranting about the evilness that is what we're talking about.
All right, first
but you'll find out. So, first, pins and needles.
Drive Away, the end title from Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events movie soundtrack by Thomas Newman.
Oh, hey, and we all got to give Kyle a hand today because today's a very special day for Kyle.
It's not that big a deal.
Oh, it's a pretty sweet deal. No. Kyle today... for those of you who are Catholic and aren't Catholic, I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can still congratulate him because, you know, it's awesome. Kyle got confirmed today, so let's give him a hand. Yeah!
Woo!
Ow! Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Gotta love the spiking.
Yeah. So you can call in and congratulate Kyle because it's a pretty cool thing. What are you
doing?
Phones
are working, but nobody's calling.
Dude, it's like 10:13. We're fine. People are just getting out of mass.
Yeah, people are still running
Chapter 12.
Or away from Mass.
If Matt was going to pick up a book, now would be a good time. Oh.
So who's doing
buzzing. What? He's going to die if we don't do something.
Rachel cried.
Cassie?
Jake asked.
What do we do? I don't know. Cassie, you're the closest thing we have to an animal expert. Jake said urgently. But I wasn't feeling like an... but I wasn't feeling like an... Matt,
no,
we need you on this.
But I wasn't feeling...
Like an expert.
I was feeling like a fool. This was all my fault. It had been my decision to go ahead. I was the one. You are the one. Marco moaned.
Oh, man, that's a major outfit. Fogel!
I want to see it blink again. Okay. Hello?
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hey, guys, it's Allie.
Hi, Allie.
CJ, I'm mad at you because I was going to call and wish or congratulate Kyle, and you beat me to it.
Uh-huh.
But I also want to extend a congratulations to Tim, who was the guest last week, and Maggie, who should be listening right now.
Okay.
And who also got confirmed, you forgot to mention her.
Sorry.
And everybody else that was confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody who goes confirmed, and thank you to Archbishop Velazny for doing such a great job.
Bang up job, you know.
Did you hang up on her?
No, she's still there.
I'm here. Start reading now.
What?
Start reading now.
We are.
We will.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, thanks, Allie.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you're wondering why this is such a big deal, it's because during the confirmation retreat, Kyle and I pretty much, like, were walking billboards for this show.
Yeah, seriously, instead of putting on a name tag, I put on Animorphs, the radio drama co-host. Listen on Sundays, and it's going to be awesome and such, and I'm Catholic.
And so far.
That's impressive, with, like, a Sharpie?
Yeah. Dude, it was Sharpie. Indelible.
No,
indelible,
like,
advertising.
That much on, like, a little square?
We're pros, dude. We're pros.
Alright. We are the man.
It's time to play sad music. Mm-hmm. I think this is sad.
It works.
No, it's not.
Okay, that doesn't work. Oh, that'll be good for the battle scene coming up.
There is no battle scene.
Yes, there is.
There is no battle
scene. There's a battle scene!
No.
Okay, you take over from Matt, because he's running around and doing stuff.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you are doing good, but I need to do better.
No, I mean, I'm, like, doing good things.
Right, I know.
Not.
Hey, did we already do Marco Moaned?
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, man, that's a major ouchie.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Tobias, calm down.
Marco sounds hurt. He is.
No, really?
Jake answered tersely.
It's gonna be too loud. Say it's too loud.
Yeah, it is a little too loud. Because I can hear it, and my headphones suck.
Oh, man, I don't want to die as some fish.
Marco cried.
I don't want to die down here. My mom drowned. I'm going to die just like she did. My dad. Morph!
I yelled.
I think I know what to do. Morph back to human. If he morphs to human, he'll just drown.
Rachel argued.
No, morphing uses DNA, right? The basic pattern of the animal. Marco morphs back to human. I don't know. I don't think the injury will affect him, because if it doesn't affect his human DNA... Because it doesn't affect his human DNA. Then, as soon as he can, he morphs back to dolphin. The dolphin body was injured, but the dolphin DNA should be the same. He should be a healthy, normal dolphin again.
Well, right.
Just healthy and normal as Marco can be.
Oh, yeah.
What if you're wrong?
Someone asked.
I was going to turn it up so you could put them around your ears. Or is it coming up on the actual mic?
I don't know. It's just really freaking loud.
All right, I'll turn it up.
It's your problem.
Okay.
You're using mine.
Whatever.
But what if you're wrong?
Rachel asked bluntly.
There's no other choice,
Jake said.
Marco, you have to morph back to human. We'll keep you from drowning.
Phone call.
Thank you for keeping us from drowning, caller. Hello, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
The season finale.
Hey.
Hey.
Prem.
Hey, Prem, what's going on, dude? Our first guest star person. Hey, oh, it's going. You know, I mean, like, this is my 2 hours before the week from Hades breaks loose.
That's hell for all of you playing at home.
Which is legal to say because it's a...
2 minutes, right?
What?
You guys have been on for like 15 minutes now, right?
Yeah.
Almost 20.
Yeah. It's pretty glorious. Are you listening?
Yeah, I was catching a little bit while I'm doing stuff.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to utter those evil words, so let me keep it clean on the air.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Intriguing. Intriguing. Well, we got to get to reading the books, dude. You got a shout-out for anybody?
I don't know. Let's do a Nazi.
Huh?
Do a Nazi.
Do a Nazi? A Nazi? Oh.
We gotta go now, Brad. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Later.
Later, dude. So those of you that are playing at home, as Matt likes to say, when Prem was on our show, we were trying to figure out what the voice of Chapman would be. And we were playing around with some, you know, ideas. And one of them was trying to make him sound like a German Nazi, which we didn't really do a good job of. And it turned into, yes... Yes, master, that kind of guy.
Peter
which is
Lorre,
on.
Not
thank
that
you.
Guy.
Thank you.
He's that guy.
All right, so this is supposed to be a really touching, sad moment while Marco's dying.
Oh,
so can
right.
we try to do that?
Okay. Back to dying.
Jake, buddy, you know I can't swim. I know, Marco, but we'll take care of you. Okay. Yeah, okay. Might as well die in my own body. Maybe it won't hurt as much. Maybe.
He was drifting off.
He's losing blood,
I said.
He may pass out. Morph! Marco, morph now!
You know that's a girl. We formed a circle around the three of us, with Tobias drifting overhead and the big humpback resting alongside. Then Marco began to change. Arms sprouted from his flippers. Dude, we should have gotten some of those sounds.
Star Trek 4.
His face flattened down with his wide, grinning dolphin mouth, shortening to form
Gracie's
Marco's
great.
Own lips. His skin turned pink and his morphing suit appeared. His shattered, injured tail split in two. Legs formed from the halves. Toes appeared. Human toes at the end of human legs.
He did it! Yeah, I did!
And no one found it.
Yeah,
she doesn't even try to put it in there. It's just,
like,
yeah, I did it, and now I'm drowning. Here,
I said.
Grab onto me. Oh, sorry.
I said, swimming beside him.
Grab onto me.
He wrapped his arms over my back, and I held him up to the air. Then I noticed something strange. It was like the ocean floor was rising to meet me.
Oh, no!
No, it was the humpback. He had dived beneath us and was rising slowly, slowly to the surface.
Look out, the whale!
Rachel yelled. But at that moment, the most incredible part of an incredible day happened. My mind, human, dolphin, both minds, opened up like a flower opening to the sun. And a silent but somehow huge voice filled my head. It spoke no words.
Okay, I'm going to need
it
some reverb.
It simply
here.
Filled every corner of my mind with a simple emotion.
We'll need some reverb.
Gratitude.
We need
the
some
whale was telling
we
me that it was grateful. We had saved it. Now it would save our schoolmate.
Not schoolmate like they go to school, but schoolmate is in like a sea creature that, you know, like fish travel in schools.
Back away.
I told Rachel and Jake.
It's okay. Yeah.
Rachel agreed, sounding amazed.
I hear it too, or feel it, or whatever.
The humpback rose from beneath a sputtering Marco. The broad, leathery back of... I can't do it. Lift.
You were doing pretty good.
No, I'll just talk for the whale.
Oh.
No, we were going to do the reverb.
Yeah.
We're going to do some reverb. All three of us do it. Never mind.
Ooh, I actually kind of like that idea. We'll try it. And then we'll go back to what's his face. That would be Matt, for those that know who I'm. Anyway. No, it's like nice and, I actually can't hear it. So. I saw Marco sitting nervously on... No, don't turn it up. His headphones suck. High and dry above the choppy waves. Tobias fluttered down and rested beside him. The whale called me to him.
Listen, little one,
he commanded in a silent voice that seemed to fill the universe. I listened. I listened to his wordless voice in my head. I felt like it went on forever. Tobias said later it was only 10 minutes, but during that 10 minutes I was lost to the world. I was being shown a small part of the whale's thoughts.
Small part of the whale's thoughts.
He had lived 80 migrations.
He had lived 80 migrations. He had many mates, many mothers who had died in their turn. His children traveled the oceans of the world.
He was a player.
He had survived many battles, traveled to the far southern ice and the far northern ice. He remembered the days when men hunted his kind from ships that belched smoke. He remembered the songs of the many fathers who had gone before.
What?
Halo soundtrack works. As others would remember his song. But in all he had seen and all he had known, he had never seen one of the little ones become a human.
Ready? Are we ready?
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, okay.
What?
Marco, I realized. He means Marco, and little ones. Is that what the whales call dolphins?
No, that's you.
That's everyone.
But that's...
No,
we
that's,
are not...
Dang
it! What the heck?
Now.
It's Cassie.
Yeah, that should definitely... We are not truly little ones.
No, you are something new in the sea, but not the only thing.
This is so cheesy.
I like it. I wasn't sure what he was telling me. He spoke only in feelings. In a sort of poetry of emotion, without words.
The song we just played was Once More with Feeling.
Wow. Without words. Part of it was in song. Part of it, I could only sense the same way I could sense echolocation. Something new? He showed me a picture, a memory. It was a broad, grassy plain with trees and a small stream, all of it underwater. And across the grass ran an animal that was part deer, part scorpion, part almost human. "Where is it?" I asked him in a language of squeaks and clicks and mind-to-mind feeling. And he told me. Suddenly, I woke up. That's how it felt. Anyway, the whale released me. It was like coming out of a dream.
"Are you okay?"
Jake asked.
"You were starting to worry us, but we had this feeling maybe the whale didn't want us to interfere." "I'm fine,"
I said.
"I'm beyond fine."
"Wow."
"Miss Modest, Marco's ready to try remorphing,"
Jake reported.
"Uh-huh,"
I said, still lost in images from a mind larger and older and so utterly strange.
"Guys, you have about 25 minutes,
Tobias reported.
"And it's a long way back to the shore."
I heard Marco say something, but he was speaking normally now, not in thought speak, so it was hard to make it out with my ears under the water. I stuck my head up and saw him begin to resume his dolphin shape. Halfway through, he slipped off the side of the whale and back into the water. His fins formed, his beak, and his tail, perfect and healthy and undamaged.
Run on sentence.
We headed for shore. Really? We headed for shore, tired but alive. I felt strange leaving the whale, but when we were a mile away, I heard his song, slow, mournful, and haunting. Like that. That right there is the definition of haunting.
It's not Keiko, it's a freaking humpback.
You sound like a freaking otter. Or seal.
Have you ever seen Down Periscope?
Why didn't he sing more when we were with him?
Why didn't he sing more when he went with him?
Wait, Jake wondered. I smiled inwardly, and of course, since I was a dolphin at the moment, I smiled outwardly, too.
He doesn't sing for the little ones,
I explained.
Keep going.
He sings for the mothers. What?
What?
He sings for a mate.
Don't we all?
Ah, cruising for chicks, got it. I wonder if that big old guy even realized that he's helped save my life,
Marco said.
Marco, that big old guy realizes things you and I will never even be able to guess.
Things that we will never know.
All right, let's go.
He communicates with the probe and Captain William D. Kirk.
Danger, Will Robinson.
All right, so don't we switch up the chapters or something?
Yeah, sure, can I do narration? Because I'm sucking at voices right now.
Do you want to do voices?
If you don't.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, they swim back. Never mind.
Chapter 13. The next day, I went to see Marco at his home. He and his dad live in a garden apartment complex, one of the older ones on the far side of the big neighborhood where Jake and Rachel both live. I've only been over there a couple of times. I think Marco's kind of embarrassed because he doesn't have much money. He used to live in a house just down the street from Jake, but that was when his mother was still alive and before his father had a breakdown and quit his job. I knocked on the door. From inside, I heard Marco's voice.
Oh.
Bottom 79.
Dad, there's someone at the door. Put on your bathroom, okay?
There was a delay, and then the door opened and Marco looked annoyed.
Cassie, what are you doing here?
I wanted to talk to you.
To me? About what?
About yesterday,
I said. He hesitated.
Look, I'm spending the day with my dad, okay? We're thinking maybe we'll, you know, do something together.
That's good,
I said. Over Marco's shoulder, I could see his father. He was wearing a bathrobe and sitting on the couch. He was staring at the TV. That was normal for any dad, I guess, on a weekend morning. This is not good music for this right now. Pause it. Because this, I can see this happening in a while. That's like good conclusion music. Because it's very major.
I'm sorry, I had less time than usual.
Oh, okay. It's okay. It's groovy.
You know, some of us have to put the show together.
We expect excellence, Matt.
Some of us have to put the show together ahead of time because people don't show up on time.
Oh, yeah.
Because of God.
It's on you, buddy. Yeah.
So you're not helping him?
Oh, no. No, it's on you now.
But you aren't helping him.
I'm waiting for you guys to put it on me so I can cry.
I am.
Kyle, stop playing the sides. Okay. You're just pitting us against each other.
Can't you see you're tearing us apart?
But I had the feeling that Marco's dad was always sitting there, right there in front of the TV.
Look, Marco, I just want to talk for a minute. Can I come in?
No, no,
he said hastily. He stepped outside onto the concrete breezeway. Down below us was a swimming pool. It was drained and closed. Leaves covered the bottom.
Marco, I wanted to talk to you about yesterday.
What about it?
You could have been killed. It would have been my fault.
I would have been my fault.
I am my fault.
Oh, really?
This whole mission was my idea. Jake asked me if we should do it, and I said yes.
Marco rolled his eyes.
That's it. Look, it wasn't your fault. It's this whole thing we're doing, this whole Animorph thing. I mean, it's been dangerous right from the start. It's insanely dangerous. That's Marco's catchphrase. It's insane! What else is new?
I shrugged.
What's new, I guess, is that the other times it was always someone else's idea.
Oh, I get it. You don't like responsibility?
I winced. Was that it? Was I afraid of taking responsibility?
I don't want to get my friends killed.
And let me assure you, your friends don't want to get killed either.
Marco said with a laugh.
I am completely opposed to getting killed.
He grew serious, even sad.
But you know what? Sometimes bad things happen. That's the way it is.
Because that's the way it is.
That's just the way it goes, as everybody knows. You never can expect to win them all.
At the ball. I don't know. I leaned against the rail, looking down at the dismal empty pool.
I see things die all the time.
I said.
Animals, I mean. Sometimes you can't save them. Sometimes we even have to put them down. And they're suffering. Dude, we have music for this. Anyway. But my dad makes those decisions, not me. He's the vet. I'm just his assistant.
Look, here I am, alive.
Marco said, tapping his chest.
Get over it. I didn't have to go. It was my choice.
Were you scared?
For a while, he didn't answer. He just came over and leaned on the railing beside me.
I'm scared all the time now, Cassie.
He said at last.
I'm scared to fight the Yerkes, and I'm scared of what will happen if I don't. I look at Tobias, and what happened to him scares me to death. What if I get stuck in a morph someday? Most of all, I am scared of him.
I didn't even have to ask what Marco meant by him. Visser 3.
That first time in the construction site when he killed, when he murdered the Andalite.
Marco made a twisted smile.
I see that in my head every day. In the Yerk pool.
He shook his head.
That's something I would like to forget, too.
Yes.
I agreed.
There has been a lot of fear.
So was I afraid yesterday? Bet on it. I was scared plenty. It was like, man, it's not bad enough that we have to fight Hork-Bajir and Taxons and Visser 3, but we also have to fight sharks? Sharks?
He laughed, and hearing him brought the laughter out of me. We both just stood there and giggled. Oh, and giggled like idiots. It was that laughter you get after something really tense has just happened. Relief laughter.
That's you.
We're still alive. Oh, we're still alive. Laughter.
Stop it.
Well, they.
Oh, by the way, I was going to wait and tell everyone at the same time.
Marco said.
But I think we have a problem.
Houston.
Yeah. Dude, he says that in a thing. Anyway.
I know.
What problem? Yes. What yeah. problem? What what problem?
It was in the newspaper this morning. Two stories. One about this guy who's going to be looking for some supposedly lost treasure ship off the coast. The other was the story about some big marine biologist guy who has a ship and is going to out to be doing some underwater exploring off our coast.
Yeah, so?
So all of a sudden, our nearby ocean seems to be very interesting to people. Treasure hunters and an underwater exploration at the same time.
Controllers?
He nodded.
I think so. I think it's all a cover story to explain why two ships will be out there with lots of divers in the water. I think it's them, all right. I think they're looking for the same thing you're looking for.
I felt weak. The image the whale had given me surfaced in my mind, and the faint cry in my dreams, the cry for help.
Oh, wow. I can't ask anyone to go out there again. I whispered. This time we may not be so lucky. Marco?
Oh, Marco. It looked uncomfortable.
Cassie, you know how I feel about all this. I think we have to take care of ourselves first and our own families.
He glanced back at his apartment door.
On the other hand, I guess after what the Analyte did for us, I wouldn't feel like much of a human being if I didn't try to save whoever is out there.
I don't know who's out there,
I said.
I don't even know if it's even real.
But you think it's an Analyte?
I think it is, but Marco, I don't know. If someone gets hurt, killed, just because I have these dreams, I can't make that kind of decision.
Yes, but you can decide to do nothing? That's a decision, too.
I had to smile.
Thank you, Sartre. Sorry.
Marco, you know, for a guy who's always joking around and being annoying, you're awfully smart.
Cute.
No, not cute. Jake's I know. Cute. Marco's annoying.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I know, but don't tell anyone. It would destroy my image.
I started to walk away.
You know what was strange about yesterday?
Oh. you know what was strange about yesterday?
Marco said.
What? The sharks. They were so totally deadly. I mean, we worry about Hork-Bajir and Taxons and Visor 3. You kind of forget they're right here on little old planet Earth. They're creatures just as tough and dangerous. It would be funny if it wasn't some alien that ended up getting us, but some normal creature.
I didn't think it was funny at all. Marco grinned at my stony face.
Okay, not funny, ha ha. More like funny weird.
What?
All right.
Chapter 14.
Okay, so Jake said, we're down to two.
Sweet, I get new headphones.
Mine.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I can't hear me now.
Chapter 14.
Why can't I hear you now?
Chapter 14.
But they're broken.
Chapter 14.
Your headphones broke.
Chapter 14.
Can you hear me?
It sounds like a broken record. Chapter 14.
Okay.
Jake said.
Here's what we know, or at least what we think we know.
We were all at Rachel's house again. It was a few hours after I had gone to see Marco. Tobias was perched on the windowsill. He didn't feel all that comfortable being inside for long. He liked the feel of the wind in the open air.
First, we believe that somehow a surviving Analyte, or maybe more than one Analyte, is trapped out in the ocean. Hopefully, Analytes can hold their breath for a really long time.
Marco joked.
Second, Cassie believes she can find this Analyte, thanks to information from the, whale.
Everyone kept a straight face for about 10 seconds. Then, all at once, everyone cracked up.
Information from a whale.
Marco repeated giggling.
Have our lives gotten really weird, or is it just me?
Tobias asked.
Weird? Weird?
Marco crowed.
The talking bird wants to know if it getting information on the location of an alien from a whale that you've just saved from sharks by turning into dolphins. You're suggesting that's weird.
Marco smiled. Jake smiled.
Well, stay tuned. Stay
tuned.
It just gets weirder. Cassie and I have been going over maps. She says the location we're looking for,
among other things,
is pretty far out to sea, too far for us to swim, and still have any time left for our 2-hour time limit.
Well, sorry.
Well, that's the ball game, isn't it?
Marco asked. Jake nodded at Rachel.
I was talking to Rachel earlier, and she has an idea.
Rachel stood up. She'd been lounging on the bed.
We hop a ride on a ship. First, we morph into something like a seagull.
Marco groaned.
Ugh, I hate that. The plans that begin with the words, first, we morph. We morph into seagulls.
I said, picking up the plan we'd worked out.
Oh, yeah. That is a girl. I almost felt bad. Then, we fly into the ship, into the shipping channel. We land on a tanker or a container ship or something that's going the right
way.
Direction.
Vector.
Oh, okay. Start reading on your own.
You're all by yourself in a studio now, son.
I'm going to take this over. We morph back to human, rest up, let the ship get us closer, then jump over the side, morph to dolphin, and go the rest of the way. Oh, well, when you put it that way, it sounds so easy, Marco sneered. How about if we just walk over to Chapman's house and tell him to call Vischer 3 to finish us off? It's so much easier, and the results will be the same, Jake sighed. It's dangerous and risky, and there are about 100 things that could go wrong. Plus, as Marco has told us, we have reason to think the controllers will be out there, searching for the same thing we're searching for. This idea just gets better and better, Marco said. Let's put it to a vote, Jake suggested. I'm in, Marco said instantly. A split second behind him, Rachel said her usual, I'm in. Everyone just stared open-mouthed at Marco. Just once I wanted to beat Rachel to it, he explained.
Tobias?
Jake asked.
I don't think I should vote. I have to sit this one out. I can't stay up that long with nowhere to sit down. Sorry. You had the dreams just like Cassie.
Jake pointed out.
Do you think we should do this or not?
Tobias fixed his fierce glare at me.
Yes, Cassie and I both had the dreams. I think they're real. Okay, like we go.
Okay, looks like we go.
Oh, I got really confused. I was like, who says that?
Says.
I don't even say that. I do say a lot of things.
Jake said briskly.
Wow. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning, we can't wait any longer. The longer we hold off, the greater the chance the Yerks will beat us to it.
We left Rachel's house. Marco split off in one direction. Tobias flew off to some unknown destination. Jake and I walked together for a while, even though it was out of his way.
I think Tobias is feeling kind of left out.
I said.
You should talk to him later. Remind him of how many times he's helped us out.
That's a good idea.
Jake agreed. We walked a little farther in silence. It's one of the nice things about the relationship, Jake and I... relationship! Awkward! It's one of the nice things about the relationship Jake and I have. We can be quiet together and feel okay about it.
This is really dangerous. Sorry, I had something in my throat. This is really dangerous, isn't it?
I asked him. He nodded. Suddenly, I stopped walking. I don't know why, but I had this need to tell him something. I took his hand and held it between both of mine.
Jake?
I said.
Yes.
It was on the tip of my tongue, but then it seemed ridiculous to say it.
Oh, just say it, Cassie!
So, instead, I said.
Look, don't ever get hurt, okay?
He smiled.
That
smile.
Me? I'm indestructible, baby.
The way he said it, I almost believed him. But then, as he went his way and I headed toward home, I glanced up at the sky. Against the blaze of the sunset, I saw a flash of russet tail feathers. Tobias,
eavesdropper,
who had been trapped forever in a body not his own. None of us was indestructible.
Except Jake. Because he went there. That was classic.
Why didn't they just say it? Oh, come on. Just come out and say it.
All right. So you're listening to 1580 AM.
The Sound of Portland.
KDUP. Where can you call us tonight, CJ?
503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121. And if you act now, we'll throw in a complimentary talk with Kyle in for free. That's 503-943-7121, Matthew. If you're on campus, you can also reach us at 7121. That's extension 7121. You may email us tonight at Animorph_radio@yahoo.com. For more information about Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored, you can visit us at our website, www.animorphs-uncensored.com. You can also check us out at our Facebook group, Animorphs, the radio drama, on Facebook.com.
Okay, we just got an email. Shout out to Christine Morrissey, courtesy of Allie.
Yay!
Yay!
Shout out!
Christine!
And Allie.
Yeah, that too.
Shout okay. out, shout out, shout out, shout out. Shout out.
Shout out. That one sounded shout like out, shut up, out, which is what I think out. You should do.
Shout out, shout out, shout out. Shout out, shout out, shout
oh,
out.
Oh, we were reading books, right? I think CJ's
chapter 15, out of the chapter 15. Here, Kyle, take over my spot. I want to look at the computer.
Wait, I was going to tinker. You
I
go,
want to look at
I'll you
go
over there.
No, you No. Was, I've been reading all
just,
the time.
I'm just
it's
saying
your, it's your
you,
turn.
You want to hold
it's,
on
but
to
it's,
this
it's,
book for
but,
a second. I had an idea and then we started talking.
Oh. But chapter 15. Hey, half a sandwich. It's a it's salami. Look over there. Is that a jujube? Pizza, pizza. Part of the crust, and it's one of those stuffed crusts. Fortunately, one thing we always have plenty of in the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center,
also known as my barn, is seagulls.
Her barn.
We acquired the seagull DNA. Then, the four of us, with Tobias watching from the high rafters, morphed into the new bodies.
I actually know why that was funny.
I have been a bird before, as an osprey to be exact, one of the types of hawk. But gulls are different in some ways. For one thing, they are scavengers, not predators.
The more you know.
So as we took wing and flew away in a rush of white from the open hayloft, I noticed different things, felt different things. My seagull mind was not searching for my scurrying animals.
Let's
was...
make seagulls cockney. Who? Hi! Check out the pizza! Pizza, pizza!
Is that a jujube?
Oh, we gotta try that again. Hi! Have a sandwich! It's a salami!
Look over there! Is that a jujube?
Pizza, pizza! Part of the crust, and it's one of those stuffed crusts!
We're sorry, England.
Oh, my God.
My seagull mind was not searching for mice and scurrying animals. It was much more open-minded. My seagull intelligence looked for anything, anything, that could possibly be food. Fortunately, the gull brains were close enough to the other bird brains we had all experienced that it was fairly easy to control them. We didn't waste a lot of time getting started. Ow, me. Although, once we did get started, everyone was constantly pointing out food.
All right, look, French fries on the ground.
That's kind of Australian.
Sorry.
Doesn't matter, it's funny.
Oh.
Go with it.
That's a half three crap. Now
Crocky, that's half a three musketeers bar by that car.
oh, and look at the dumpster behind the McDonald's.
Sometimes you just have to accept the animal's basic mindset and go with it.
Oh well, there's the beach.
Jake said as we flapped and soared and flapped some more. Flapped and soared and flapped some more. KA, what are you experimenting with? Not like wordplay, not anything else.
Like
not
meter.
Like, yeah,
meter.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
Not anything else.
Meter.
It's easier being an osprey in some ways, much less flapping. Once we were out over... Ooh, Cassie's a flapper. Once we were out over the water, we could at least stop scanning for food, mostly.
Hey, is that a bag of potato chips floating down there?
We flew low, just a few dozen feet above the water. Not like hawks who could ride the thermals up to the bellies of the clouds. But Tobias wasn't much higher than we were now. There are no thermals over water, and he was having to flap a lot to stay aloft. We flew on, skimming the choppy surface of the water.
Wow, that's a funky trance.
I do like it. I'm digging it. This is working. Cold. Hey, look!
Rachel said.
Over to the left.
Doo-doo. Sleek, gray shapes sliced through the water, up, down, breaking the silvery barriers between sea and sky.
You know, sometimes this is just so wonderful.
It was a school of dolphins.
I mean, we're flying.
Rachel
we're
said.
We're flying, and later we'll be like them, at home in the water. Yeah, just us and the sharks.
Marco said darkly.
Still, this is cool.
Rachel said.
There's a ship up ahead.
Jake announced.
You just now noticed it?
Tobias laughed.
Wow, seagull eyes aren't exactly great, are they? It's a container ship called Newmar. It's from Monrovia. You want to know what color the captain's hair is?
Show off, Jake grumbled. It's mauve. He dyes it.
Mauve.
Oh, Hawkeyes are totally amazing. As long as it's sunny out. Tobias can read a book from like 3 blocks away.
Oh my god, if it were sunny out, Tobias could read this book.
You can look it up on there.
Can't get music online. That's illegal.
You can get pirates singing yo-ho-ho in a bottle of milk. It's Matt's turn.
I'm trying to find music.
You don't need to. Let Kyle do that.
There's a list of music.
Okay.
Twice. It was hard flying to catch up to the ship. It was moving fairly fast, and by the time we were close, I was exhausted. The ship was gigantic, painted a rusty blue, because everyone paints their ships blue, with a deck longer than a football field, or 100 yards for those. Yeah. I suck at football. The superstructure was all crammed toward the back. That's where the crew would be, so we flew forward, hoping to find someplace private. The deck was stacked with containers, big steel boxes like trailers. Row after row of them lined the deck, and we could see hundreds more down in the hold.
Arr.
How do they know all this, like, terminology for ships and stuff? We settled in a narrow space between two rows of containers, far forward. It was like having walls all around us, corrugated metal walls that went high over our heads.
Tobias, how much time?
Jake asked. Tobias twisted his head down to see the tiny watch strapped to his talon.
It's been about an hour and a half.
We decided to resume our human shapes. The shapes between the rows of containers was... Or the space between the rows of containers was even narrower when we were fully human again.
It's chilly out here,
I said, as a girl. The steel deck was cold beneath my bare feet.
It's chilly out here.
And even though the sun was high in the sky, we were in shadow.
Man, I swear, this is the worst thing about morphing,
Marco said.
Can someone please figure out how to morph shoes and maybe a sweater? Come on, Cassie, you're the morphing genius. I'm sick of these morphing outfits. But you look so cute in spandex.
Rachel teased him.
Plus, they aren't exactly fashionable. All I'm saying is, uniforms. Something cool looking. And warm. Warm would be nice. When winter comes, we are going to be some sad little animorphs.
Oh, Marco.
I have a more important question.
Rachel said.
How do we know when we're there? You know, our destination.
Jake made a who knows face.
I figure this ship is going, like, what, 20 miles per hour? Figure an hour, and that puts us 20 miles out, right?
Rachel pointed a finger at her forehead and said,
Jake's a total mathematical genius. 1 hour at 20 miles per hour. Right away he figures out that's 20 miles.
Jake laughed.
That's about all the math I can do. Actually, we're moving about 18 miles per hour,
Tobias said. We all just stared at him.
I fly along the road sometimes and watch the car speedometers. So I have a pretty good idea how fast I'm flying. When we were flying alongside the ship, I clocked it. Okay, 18 miles an hour, more or less, straight south.
Marco considered.
That would put us within a couple of miles of where Cassie thinks we should go.
I winced. Every time anyone said something about me deciding where to go or what to do, it made me nervous, because I'm...
I'd better head back,
Tobias said regretfully.
I don't want to try and fly 18 miles back without a rest. And if I stay on this ship, I'll end up in Singapore. Singapore?
Rachel asked.
Yeah, I read the captain's log as we're flying alongside. That's where they're heading.
Jeez, Tobias is like the information giver.
I know.
Tobias flew off, leaving us the little watch. It was extremely dull waiting for an hour with nothing to do but try and guess what was in the big containers all around us. On the other hand, we knew that what we had to do next would definitely not be boring. So basically, we were happy to just be bored for a while, huddled together, trying to stay warm in the whipping ocean breeze and almost nothing. After a long time, Jake checked the watch.
It's been about an hour. Cassie, what do you think? Okay, Jake. I don't know.
I admitted.
I guess I was hoping that when I was back in Dolphin Morph, I would be able to make sense of more of the details the whale communicated to me. It was mostly images, and some of the images were about sounds and currents and water temperatures and the stuff you'll see from this. You can't see from the surface.
Jake thought for a moment.
Oh, well, now is good time as any, I guess. Let's head for the side.
We stood up, uncramping our cold, stiff legs and arms. Why were they cramped? Anyway, We moved along the row of containers toward the left side of the ship. The port side, the port as they side. Say.
Oh.
The port. Lower the port anchor! Oh, except it was starboard. We reached the side. There was a solid steel railing that ran all around, about waist high. Jake checked to see if we would be in view of the bridge, and we headed forward a little more to a blind spot where no one should see us. The four of us leaned over the rail and looked down at the water. It looked like it was a million miles below. Marco whistled.
Man, that is some high dive. No big deal for a seagull or a dolphin, but a mighty long way for a human.
I agreed.
We can't morph up here. We'll never get our dolphin bodies over the side.
Rachel pointed out.
Nope.
Jake said.
Agreed. We have to jump in with our human bodies. All except Marco. He can't swim. I thought he could morph up here, and then we could all shove him over the side.
Mutiny! Rachel looks skeptical.
Jake, when Marco is in dolphin morph, he'll weigh like 400 pounds.
Jake looked worried.
I kind of didn't think about this when I was planning.
I had a sinking feeling. The plan was falling apart even before it had begun.
I'll lean against the railing.
Marco said.
Then I'll start morphing. Then, before I lose my legs, you guys help shove me over. I'll finish morphing within a few seconds of hitting the water. Unless the water knocks you out and you just sink.
I said flatly.
Forget it. Forget it. Let's just morph back to seagulls and fly back home. This is insane. Insane?
Marco echoed.
Hey, that's my word. Look, we came this far. I don't care!
I yelled, surprised at my own passion.
I'm not going to be responsible for anyone dying. This isn't going to work. I don't know where I am. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what to do.
Marco laughed.
Excellent pep talk, Cassie. I'm really looking forward to this.
I was going to yell at him something like,
look, Marco, this isn't a joke.
But when I looked at him, I saw that his face was bulging way out, forming a long, grinning beak. He had already started to morph.
I'm not going to...
He said, started to say, but his mouth no longer worked. He was growing larger, straining his weak human legs with his weight. His arms were flattening into flippers.
Now!
Jake said. He grabbed Marco's flipper arm. Rachel and I jumped forward and seized his legs just as they began to shrivel.
Heave!
Jake yelled. Marco, half-human, half-dolphin, tumbled backward over the railing and fell into the sea.
Let's go!
Jake said.
Yee-haw!
Kyle.
What was that?
Yee-haw?
Yee-haw.
No, like,
Yee-haw!
Like that?
Yeah,
exactly, Rachel said with a wild grin. She jumped over the railing, balanced for a moment like a gymnast she was, then launched herself off in a neat swan dive. Jake and I exchanged a glance.
Rachel,
he said and rolled his eyes.
She's your cousin,
I pointed out.
On the count of three. One, two.
I climbed over the railing and launched myself as far from the steel walls of the ship as I could.
I think we're going to do a
saw break.
All right, we're gonna let you go ahead and listen to this info that's probably outdated, and then we're probably going to come back and try and rock the end of this book. Rock its socks right off. And then we're going to have a nice goodbye and see you all for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here we go.
Hey, we're back.
Hi.
We have something to share with you guys. We found this lovely, lovely thing on the internet.
Am I gonna have to come over there?
And we just.
I'm not getting it up. I can do it. You can't do it.
Okay.
No, I can do it. You can't.
Okay, we found this lovely thing on the internet that we would just love to share with you all because...
I hate it!
I'm being sarcastic.
You don't even recognize your own equipment.
I'll get it.
That's
it?
An
green?
Insult.
I think it's green.
Yeah, green is... Oh, it's out up here.
There we go.
We're having some issues. But we found this thing and we thought it would just be...
I hope this works.
It's going to work.
It would just be appropriate to share.
Because I can't hear it.
You can't hear it because you got the wrong headphones on.
I know. I pushed play.
Well, why isn't that working?
I don't know.
It is working.
Is it working?
Here it is.
Enjoy, people. Enjoy.
What was that? Well, Matthew.
Yeah, good question. What was that? That was pathetic.
No. Let's give. I mean, okay. So I was online the other day, looking around at the Animorph pages, and a bunch of Animorph pages, and I found this one page. It's got like all of the Animorphs TV show episodes that ever came out, and I mean seriously.
Horrible.
Oh my gosh. It's so like, they're so awful, but yet so terribly addicting. Just, and I guess it's a credit to show that, you know, while you can really screw up the screenplay and everything, just the idea of the Animorphs is so incredibly awesome that people will still watch it because...
We watched it for like hours.
Yeah, we did.
And it because was like it was, the weekend before finals week.
It's,
we really
oh
should.
My gosh. It's like watching it and you're just like, no. No, I must turn away.
Why did they screw that?
Okay, worst part ever. Worst part ever, other than the intro to that beginning song. I mean, once you get into the 1-4-5 progression of it, it's actually pretty cool.
CJ's a music minor, so...
Once you get into that part, it's actually pretty cool. I mean, I can deal with it, but the... Nowhere to run,
it's only
in your head.
No, once they get to that part, it's... I don't mind, because I can dig the bass line. Okay, so seriously, Draken beams are pathetic. Come
They're
on.
Flashlights.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, all you gotta do is borrow a Star Trek phaser.
I mean, seriously. If you guys want to check these things out ever, go to www.
No. There's an easier one.
Oh, there is there?
Yeah. This one.
No, but they have to go to the actual... Oh, www.veoh. That's V is in voyage.
Volkswagen.
As in Visser.
Yes, as in Visser. E is in
Elfangor.
Elmnist. O is in...
Oh my gosh. Those books are so cool.
And M as
no,
in...
No, that's an H.
That's an H.
Oh,
way to
H.
confuse people.
My bad.
H is in Hawkward.
H is in Hawkward, yes. At .com/series/Animorphs. And you can, like, watch all of these. And seriously, I encourage you all to at least watch one of them so you can see what the Draken beams look like. Oh, my goodness. It is sad.
Literally, you can't tell whether or not they're using flashlights to run down the hall or just shooting themselves in the feet as they run down.
Disgusting! I mean, come on!
They literally took flashlights, taped a little button on top to make it look like a gun... And
it
flash
look
it.
Like gun.
No.
And there's the... Oh, our favorite scenes, by far, favorite scenes out of them, though, are these random shots where two guys are diving...
Oh, yeah, with flashlights. And they're not even, like, flashing the lights like they're firing. They just have them on.
Yeah.
And they're diving in front of each other and cutting each other in half.
So we're thinking, and we're, like, really tempted to do this, is
yeah,
to do a mystery
really,
science
theater. Really,
really
tempted.
Really tempted to do a mystery science theater kind of thing. Because, I mean, there are so... Many times.
That's one of the many things that we're thinking about maybe, possibly, almost, kind of doing over the summer to keep you guys interested in our awesome show.
I mean, seriously, the casting on it was... I mean, if the actors are listening to our show, I'm sorry. Maybe you guys
nice
are great actors.
Trip there.
I can't really tell because the screenwriting was just... I mean, we're talking about a show here. They should have probably morphed... The screenwriting.
I think
Maybe Kay.
No, she helped out. She consulted. She has to.
Yeah, but see, it doesn't really matter because what it is it's bad directing. I mean, shoot, look at the Harry Potter films.
Okay. We need to start this out. Now, maybe we haven't actually read all three of us haven't read
the entire series.
Don't ever call in and tell us what happens in the end because we're like little children.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait until the next.
I mean, we've read all of these books that we're reading right now, obviously, but we only got up to like 25 or something like that.
10.
I got up to 25. 10. So,
No. Together, we got up to 10.
Oh, okay, right.
But you like, know. Personally, anyway, though. Not important.
Okay.
More important is picking on this show.
The first show, Elfangor. Come on. They could have at least, like, put in some decent CG in this because, or I don't care. Maybe just do makeup. Because the man, the Andalite is just, like, this
puppet.
Oh, my God.
You know what it reminds me of? Power Rangers. The quality of
except worse.
Stuff in Power Rangers. Exactly, except yeah. worse. You're right.
At least the actors in Power Rangers, you didn't have to see them so much.
Yeah, like, they just like...
they used their morph.
I hope they're not listening to our show or else we're...
No, I love... All the actors look pretty because that's what actors are paid to
and
do.
That's what I don't like. Because Cassie is supposed to be a
phone call to help us rant.
And...
Okay.
Yay.
Oh, it's 10:30. This is on campus.
Hello.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored. That's season finale. I hate you.
Anyways.
I'm very disappointed. I was hoping for somebody to pick on.
So, the first thing, Elfangor shows up. They do the whole morphing cube. It's like not even drawn out. Like, they could have done an entire...
They're just like, here, have some morphs.
Yeah, here's a cube, guys. Let's... have fun.
And he had all that stuff on his person.
And then,
he's just like out of his fur.
And then, what the heck? He throws him a disc in this little handheld thingy.
Now, this is where our ignorance comes into play. We're assuming that they just made up this whole side story, but we haven't actually read the entire series, so maybe that comes in.
But I don't think it does, because by the time the show came out, I remember when the show came out, and she wasn't finished with the series. And up until that point, there had been no disc.
True.
But she probably...
Oh, here we
phone
go.
Call.
She
a real one? Real one, maybe?
Hello? You're on Animorphs.
You didn't press the button.
Push the button.
Push the button.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
I just want to say that what I didn't like most of all was Hort-Bajir.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. We were getting there.
Oh, those are... Oh,
thank you, Tim, for calling in.
We're awful.
Oh, yeah.
Creatures.
Quite disgusting.
All right. Carry on.
All right.
So anyways, going back to the disc.
Yeah.
Elfangor throws Tobias this disc. He doesn't go and get it because, I don't know.
He's like, oh, Tobias I'm so scared. Yeah, they made Tobias like completely like
lame.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. When he's like, I guess I'm going to run and hide behind a tree that doesn't hide me, but nobody's going to see me.
And then he runs away from the group. He's not the first one to morph. Jake morphs while they're running away into Homer.
He morphs Air Bud. Yeah, he morphs Air Bud.
Seriously, it's like the same exact dog. It's like, hey, go fetch.
Yeah, and then, oh my gosh, the thought speak reverb is terribly done. Terribly done. Oh man, like we're amateurs here, and I think
we could do
a reverb
better.
And I like I'm biased, but I like my theme song better than.
Yeah, well, I mean, bias is a powerful thing.
Yeah, so is Tobias.
I don't know lyrics like that. No solid ground.
It's all in your
okay. So anyways, so
Hort-Bajir.
Mr. Sean Ashmore, he did a decent job playing Jake.
Yeah, he was
somewhat. I mean, but like all the
only
minor
thing,
characters
the
were
the only
really
thing
good.
I didn't like about Cassie was that she was hot. She was supposed to be wearing freaking overalls. I mean,
well, she
she's walking around with the nice, you know, the jean nice jacket. Jean jacket and the
yeah,
white
I, well,
shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
The cornrows instead of the short hair.
I didn't mind Cassie. I thought she, I you know.
You okay,
know
she
really
was the better.
Jake still got
Marco.
Marco.
They needed
nothing like his character.
He could have done well, but what the heck is up with hairstylist, you should be fired.
Quish, 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 get out.
Several times. Like, I don't know. Set yourself on fire, dump some canola oil on you, and then run out and jump into a swimming pool and then
phone call.
Alright, off to
oh boy.
Enter the fun.
Hello, you're on the radio drama.
Uncensored.
We're ranting.
I just wanted to add in my 2 cents. The disc is never in the series.
Yes! No! I mean, seriously! say. Okay, now I'm really upset.
Where are your 2 cents coming from?
Oh, she's called before.
Yeah, she's read
before.
All the...
Yeah, I'm Chicago. I'm the RA.
Woohoo! Yay! We got another... Thanks for still listening after that show.
You know what? I have a paper due on Sunday night. What better thing do I have to listen to radio from Portland?
Woohoo!
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
finals week is just starting for us, so we're...
Yeah.
We're destroying ourselves with you. So
we actually have a final tomorrow.
Chicago, yo.
I figured... I also wanted to ask you guys a question. What's going to happen to the show over the summer?
Well...
We're tossing it around. What? Okay.
You want to take this?
What am I saying?
Oh, well, okay. So this is what we've been thinking about doing. Is planning to get together and do a couple of recordings of ourselves and reading the books. Obviously, we can't do it on the radio because the shop's closed. But what we're planning on doing is doing a couple of recordings and releasing a few over the summer so that people are like, you know, they want to keep listening to the show. I want to keep listening to the show. This is a lot of fun.
I actually like listening to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, Kyle's kind of narcissistic like that.
I like to listen to Kyle, too.
Yeah.
Well, I know your fans would certainly be interested, and you guys should post whatever you decide to do on the Facebook site.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we're going to plan.
We're definitely going to be doing that, and we're going to try to also get our website a little bit more
working.
Website-y. We've been having a little trouble with that. We actually have a really cool thing designed for it, but unfortunately
it doesn't fit
for some reason. It's weird. So we're working on that, and then next year we're going to try to get to – we'll figure out what time we're doing for it, and then
anyway,
let everybody knows.
Yeah, so we're planning on doing stuff, but it's in the planning phase.
Yeah.
We're all still studying, so afterwards we're probably going to think. So.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Glad to hear you guys are sticking around. And continue your ramp.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Bye.
Okay.
She keeps calling.
Yeah, she's cool. Oh, no, wait.
We hung up.
Hairstylist.
Okay, so Marco's hairstylist should be...
Yeah. He's got, like, the two curls going, and, like, nice. Okay, keep ranting.
Okay.
Press the button. Oh.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, it's Bucket.
Oh,
hey,
hi,
Bucket.
Why are you calling in my room?
Because I was in your room.
Okay.
Hi, Bucket.
That's the best explanation I have.
Okay. Why are you calling us?
Just to say hi, because I think this is your last one, and I haven't been the best supporter of your show. I should be.
Oh.
Woohoo!
Well, thank you, Bucket.
Yes?
Okay.
You're cool.
Okay. And I'll try and call in as the guy who doesn't know anything next year.
Okay. All right.
That's a good idea. We need some of those.
Yes, we do.
Because I would fulfill that requirement quite well.
Woohoo! All right,
thanks, man.
Okay, see you guys.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, so after shooting Marco's hairstylist, we would probably... Now, see, I've been thinking about this.
Get out of here. You will never work in this town again. But I'm sorry. I thought it looked hot. That is because you are a silly fool. I'm sorry. I'm just going to pack up my bags and tools, and I'm just going to walk. You shouldn't even have tools. You don't know how to use them. Continue.
Okay. So, anyways, after we have shot... the hairstylist... I've been thinking about this a lot. Because I don't know. Rachel... I don't know.
Yeah. I'm on the fence with Rachel.
Like, because, like, I didn't like her to begin with, but she's kind of growing on me.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah.
She really is. She wasn't exactly how I pictured Rachel.
True.
But then, at the same time, it's really kind of, you know, you think about the way she describes her in the books as, the tall blonde.
But she's also a gymnast.
You know, she's not bad looking. I'm trying to... Because here's the problem. In the book, she's like 13.
Yeah.
And
you can't exactly be like,
she's hot! I mean...
Well, in the movies, they're...
In the TV shows, they're like 18.
Well,
so.
I know, but... Well...
They're freshmen.
They're supposed to be freshmen, but they're like... The actor's like 18 years old. What the heck? So anyways, I don't know.
Shoot.
So that's... It'd be a difficult thing for the casting director to cast a... she's hot! 13-year-old. I mean,
Cassie was hot. I'm not gonna lie.
It's true. She wasn't bad.
She might have been playing a 13-year-old, but she was definitely not.
I like
13. So
Axe was kind of. See, now here's the. Oh,
here's,
okay.
Here's the clincher. Is because my initial response to Axe was, oh my gosh. But I was already ranting about the show to begin with.
Here's the problem, though. It's the music behind that they put behind the entire show. It's like this.
Look out behind you.
Don't.
It's not scary. People are laughing.
Yeah.
But we're going to add some scary.
It's like, what the heck? And then, you know, you've got Axe, who's supposed to be the plucky comic relief, but serious sometimes. I mean, and all they have him doing is, like, he's doing his little, he's retarded, thinking, and, but. He actually does. He does a decent job if they put the right kind of music behind him. You know, like the buffoon music.
Yeah, the bouncing up and down music. You know, like you'd follow the ball across the words kind of music.
Exactly. And then the last show that I watched, you guys weren't there, but the last show I watched, they actually put a little of that kind of stuff behind him, or like happier music
right before they shot the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was just like, come on. Tom did a good job. The guy who played Tom does a pretty good job. He's pretty scary.
I don't like what they do with controllers. In this show, it's easy to pick out controllers because they just stick their finger in there.
They kind of do give it away. Oh, yeah. Okay, Kyle, you can talk about Jake walking down the street because this is your favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. No, the first show I saw was the second, you know, part two to I Am Jake. Or My Name is Jake. And anyway, he's walking down the sidewalk and he's like, My name is Jake. And we're like, yeah, that's the name of the show. Way to go. And he's walking down the sidewalk, and first person he sees, he's like, hey, how's it going? And they give him this look.
No, and okay, don't forget, though, the entire time, the camera's doing this. If I could put it into audio, this is what it'd be doing.
Zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out. Oh, my God.
Except without the zoom in, they're doing the whole... The cut, they're
flash,
doing the cuts.
Flash.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Kind of like a strobe light effect, except you're like, you know, jumping forward and backward.
Overdoing it.
Anyway, basically it's everybody walking down the street in this scene where he's like, the controllers could be everywhere.
Don't forget the baby, though.
Don't worry. Everybody's got this face like, I am a zombie.
I'm going to kill you.
All I do is what they tell me to do. I don't even acknowledge your existence. I'm going to stare at you.
I'm looking right through you.
And every person Jake runs into, he pauses and looks at them, and he goes like this, oh my God, you're a controller. I'm going to keep walking.
With his eyes, of course.
And then he walks, and there's somebody washing a car. He's like, must wash car. Must wash car.
Like, remember the best hits of the Animorphs last week when we did the, I am a yerk in your brain. That thing, that's what it's like.
Exactly. And then he, you know, the guy looks
up. We were being corny.
And he, you know, he gives him a little nod like, hey, what's up, man? And the guy just stares and, I must keep washing. And then Jake turns after being like, there's no way, you know, to tell who's who and, you know, who's a controller. And he looks and he turns to this old lady pushing a little kid.
In a stroller.
And immediately Jake turns and looks at the kid. And the kid, with an ice cream cone, looks up and goes,
I am also a controller.
With her face. I mean, just blatant, you know, I'm going to try and kill you when I'm older and stuff. What kind of yerk would be like, oh boy, I gotta be a 2-year-old! Yay!
I'm gonna tell them no!
And then he looks up and looks at the old lady, who's definitely also a controller, and says, nice day.
He does. Seriously, he doesn't even say have a nice day. He's just like, nice day.
How the heck are you supposed to respond to that?
Oh,
of course
gosh.
She's going to keep on walking, even if she doesn't have a controller in her head.
Yeah.
And then there's some random person in a helmet. He's like, anyone can be a controller, even you. And then there's like this really geeky person in a bad helmet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing a bad helmet.
It's like, this is supposed to be you on a bike.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Flash.
If they didn't want to mess up continuity, like the next, right after this episode where they go down to the Yerk pool and see the guys jumping around with flashlights firing at them. Okay, now that we've gotten to that part, with these, what the heck did they do to the Hork-Bajir?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, this is the biggest crime.
Anybody who's a fan of these books, have you seen a blade on those things? K.A., repeatedly, they are like walking
salad shooters.
Salad shooters, lawnmowers, they just have blades everywhere,
like,
right?
This is all we have to say. You go into the show, reading these books. Well, I know, but this sums it up really, really well. You go into the show and you're thinking Animorphs. You're thinking
phone
Lance.
Call. You're thinking phone call.
Okay, we're thinking
phone call. All right. Hi, you're on.
Hi guys, it's Hillary.
Hi, Hillary.
I was wondering, even though you guys have a final tomorrow, are you guys gonna do your after show cove run?
Probably.
Yeah.
And we're going to read the whole book, so
we might be actually a little late.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see you guys there.
All right.
Okay.
I'm enjoying the rant.
Woo-hoo.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Oh, side note, Allison Vandehay should come to the Cove, and she knows why.
Yeah, because she's the only one on campus with points.
Yeah.
Points.
Okay, so anyways. So, okay, you go into the show, and you're thinking, lanced. Because everything lances in Animorphs.
Yeah.
The blades lance. The lasers lance.
Dolphins
the
lance.
Ships lance. Yeah. The dolphins lance. Just pretty much, like, the romance lances.
Yeah. I mean it's basically the best word for the books is
lanced. And, okay.
No. Lanced.
Okay. And then the Hork-Bajir come out, and you're like...
What? That doesn't lance.
They're like...
That waddles and grunts. That doesn't lance.
They're supposed to be, like, really, really freaking quick, and then they're just like... You can tell that the head that they're filming is like stuck on the end of a hose or something, and they're just like wiggling it around,
like maybe in front of the camera.
With a couple of strings.
Phone call.
Hello, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
So what year was this show put out?
Like 96, 97, yeah. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's very likely that I watched it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of us tried.
I mean, I
once
watched it, but I didn't
twice.
Have cable, so people, like, they taped it for me.
Yeah, I
was so excited when the show was coming out.
Yeah, I was like, Animorphs, oh my god!
And then
exciting.
It disappointed.
So who is this?
This is Alyssa.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Alyssa. Where are you calling from?
She's calling from campus.
Oh.
Kansas.
Campus.
Not so much.
Campus. Camp with a P. Campus.
Oh, campus, yes. This is true.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Oh, her. Okay, I know who it is.
Thank you for calling in again, Alyssa.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget, Awesome is on KWP.
Yes.
Yep.
When
our
is
last
that?
Show is on Thursday from 10 to midnight for all the people who are listening now.
Woohoo! Oh, yeah.
Station.
Right.
And it's the best.
Awesome.
So
it's
I've heard.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've heard that.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Alyssa.
All right. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah. Hork-Bajir, ugly mofos with no swords. They actually have, like, ginormous cat claws on their hands that they can't use. They just, like, poke people with them. Like, Jake, he's, you know, fighting bad guys, and then he, like, trips and he stumbles, and then you see the thunk, thunk, thunk of the slow-motion Hork-Bajir walk up behind him, and instead of, like, turning around and be like, oh my gosh, a Hork-Bajir, I'm gonna run now, Jake, like, stops because the puppeteers can't swing. They have to, like, lower the claw down on a ratchet up to his neck, at which point the Hork-Bajir gets hit with oatmeal.
In the face!
Oh,
and
yeah,
it knocks it over!
Speaking of oatmeal, then if they don't, she doesn't want to keep any whoever the heck is writing this thing, if they don't want to keep any continuity, well, they threw it out the window. They threw it out the window with, like, no reverence whatsoever.
What was
you
that,
blasphemer.
Like the fourth show?
Yeah, like the fourth show. The Yerks are already going crazy over oatmeal.
I think that was more like the eighth show.
Honestly,
it all blends together.
Honestly. Oh, my gosh.
All right, okay.
Oh, just in case
you were wondering.
And Tobias is not the first one to morph. Jake is, and ah.
All right, just in case you were wondering, well, maybe the screenwriting sucks and the acting isn't too good, and the screenwriting sucks and the directing is bad and the screenwriting sucks, but maybe the action is good. Let me tell you this.
It sucks.
First of all,
they cut out as much as they can.
Yeah, but because first of all the action happens while the kids are in morph.
Yeah.
And the actors' contracts say, like, you've got to show
Sean
Ashmore,
morph,
so on
let's
and so
talk
forth.
About Tobias's hawk morph.
No, wait. Phone call.
We have a phone call.
It's still a phone call?
Ooh.
Hello?
You're on Animorphs.
Oh,
radio drama.
Uncensored.
Oh, great. Hi, this is Lauren from Utah.
Hi, Lauren from Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
Hi.
Way to represent.
What?
I said way to represent.
Yeah.
I just want to say your show is awesome. It's entertaining me while I do my psych.
Woohoo!
Psych.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. I just spit coffee all over my pajama top.
Sorry.
It was...
Don't sue us, please.
Yeah, it was great. And I just wanted to call in and
I reiterate, I can't talk. The awesome is, and I really hope you do this over the summer. And I know you are going to, hopefully, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't want to interrupt your rant about Animorphs TV, but...
We're okay. So worried that somebody's
going
to call
it. We'll
in.
Just keep going on new random things. There's so much to pick on, so...
No, I'm mad because I thought there'd be more discussion on the live journal community. I was all excited. I was like, oh, I get to post a discussion post this week. No one had. And no one... I know. I'm sure you guys have heard the Animorphs community by now because one of you commented last week. Yeah. We're off. Sorry, I had to plug Live Journal. I love it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Well, we got to get back to our rant because we're trying to finish this book up actually right now. We have to finish up the rant.
We may
first.
Go a little late, so
you might want to finish that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lauren, from Utah.
Now we can't leave it with a cliffhanger, or can we?
No, we can't.
Oh, don't do it. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, we could pull the whole Star Trek. Second season ending where Picard is
all right.
Assimilated by the Borg.
All right, so...
We don't know what happens.
So, like, maybe the action's good.
No.
All right, so the way people hide in this thing, you'd think it'd be like, oh, stealthy action hiding. No, what they do is they find a tree, and then they stand to the left of it.
Yeah, next.
And that's hiding.
Yeah.
Or they find a bush that's like... It's like the sparsest bush you could possibly imagine, and they hide behind it.
Oh, another phone call.
So that you can see the actors hiding behind it.
All right, here we are. Hello.
Hello, this is Vladimir.
Hi.
I have a quick comment. Maybe it's not the writers or the actors' fault on TV show, but maybe quality of writing of books.
Oh!
Yes, I know. And as you may not know, K.A. Applegate, she helped write screenplay for TV show. Coincidence? I think not. Goodbye.
You don't think,
Vladimir.
All we can say is that. Okay,
I think he's the phantom caller.
I can. K.A. Applegate did help out with the screenplay, but see, here's the thing: screenplays should be
Harry Potter. Everybody, I'm just putting it out there.
Snakes on a plane.
Right,
what Hollywood comes up with.
Writing books is completely different than writing screenplays, and so. I mean, I give these guys crap for the crappy screenplays that they wrote, but I mean, adapting a narrative book into a screenplay, well, that's a tough job. It's a tough job because they can
have done it, kind of.
Yeah. So, anyways.
What? Actually, no, we haven't done anything of the sort.
No, we haven't. Okay, that's just one more thing.
Why don't you give them the website?
This will be the end of our rant.
Okay, this is the end of our rant. Seriously. If you're going to have a hawk morph, take off the trainer's little thingy on the hawk.
Leathers. The little leather straps that dangle as he flies.
It's unprofessional. And second of all, make sure the set is clear of all cameramen that are going to have to run across the shot. You have to watch it. They're in the forest. Oh, yes. And they find Axe in the forest. What the heck? As we know right now...
Actually, we don't know at all.
Well, we don't know at all.
Perfect segue. Let's find out where they find What's-His-Face.
Okay.
Moving right along.
What's the website again?
Which one? Oh, the website? If you want to watch these and laugh your head off and get sadly addicted to them because, I mean, they're Animorphs and you just have to watch them because, I don't know. Oh, gosh. Something about terrible TV shows is addicting. You can go to www.v as in Visser, E as in Elemnist, O as in...
Oh my gosh, this is crap.
And H as in Hawkward.
Hawkward.
Hawkward. That's the Tobias and Rachel moment thing. Hawkward. So VEOH.com /series/Animorphs. Check them out. We haven't finished them all, and I want to finish them, but it's finals week. And thank you to all the people that called in.
Any views or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KUP, its parent, or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.
Just so we don't get in trouble.
Oh, right. Yes. So the school does not have anything against Animorphs, the TV show.
Oh, this is a great, get back into the mode. Who's reading and what?
I just really... Why couldn't... Why was it Nickelodeon?
I'm doing voices.
Because Nickelodeon did all the cool kids stuff back in the day.
Here, hold this. I'm going to go fill up your water bottle.
What water bottle?
The one in the hallway, of course.
Oh, of course.
All right.
In the hallway.
So let's get back to real Animorphs. I'm doing narration.
Oh crap! Make sure you guys listen to me because I want you to get back in.
Right. Well, listen.
That would be the wrong song. That would be very much the wrong song. That's a good song, though. Malaguena by Stan Kenton. Everyone should check it out. Yeah, except when the UP Jazz Band plays it.
Hey! 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 Hey!
All right. This is the song. It'll play. Chapter 16. I fell for what seemed like a very long time.
Oh, sorry.
I fell for what seemed like a very long time.
Paloosh!
I hit the water feet first and plowed beneath the surface in a pillar of bubbles. The cold shocked me. The water was like ice, and just a few feet away was the intimidating steel wall of the tanker sliding past at what felt like incredible speed. I kicked my feet and began to rise to the surface. I've been a swimmer since I was little, but it frightened me being this far out in the water, this deep. This wasn't a pool or a pond. This was the ocean, 20 miles from land. I broke the surface and gasped a lungful of air and a mouthful of seawater. What had looked like little choppiness from up in the ship felt like towering waves down here. I couldn't see any of the others. All I could see was the side of the ship. Come on, Cassie, I told myself. Morph. Do it. This is no place for a person. There's just about nothing as helpless as a human being in the ocean. Without my ability to morph, I would not have lasted an hour. I felt the change begin as I focused on morphing. At first, I thought it would kill me. I soon had most of the weight of a dolphin, with nothing but my human feet paddling to keep my head above water. My arms had already become flippers. A wave washed over me, leaving me sputtering from my mouth and my blowhole at the same time. I realized that I could no longer keep my head above water. I took a deep lungful and let myself sink. As my eyes went from human to dolphin, my underwater vision improved. I could see other figures kicking and writhing in the water around me. Jake, half-changed, Rachel almost complete, Marco with a dolphin grin, looking amused. Then, with the kick of my newly completed tail, I knew I was safe. I had made the change. I was a dolphin in a dolphin's world. The human's clumsiness, the human's cold, the human's fear of an alien environment all evaporated. I was warm and in control and all right where I should be.
Everyone okay?
One by one they answered, we had made it. Too bad this was just the easy part of the mission.
Well, that was fun,
Marco said sardonically.
Let's never, ever do that again. Cassie?
Jake prodded me. I tried to relax, to let my human mind recede just a little. I needed to listen to the dolphin instincts. I needed to understand the whale's instructions. Something no human could ever do.
Not far.
I figured.
We're just a few, forget it, there's no word for it. Just believe me, we're close. After you, Cassie.
Jake said. It felt strange taking the lead, but only I knew the way. We traveled near the surface for a while. This made it confusing for me, because whales go deeper, and the world the whale saw and knew was deeper world than I, as a dolphin, experienced. And yet, I knew I was going in the right direction. My echolocating clicks painted murky, half-understood pictures of my mind, of underwater hills and valleys and rifts. I felt currents tugging at me. I sensed changes in water temperature. In the end, I just knew. Okay, everyone get a good lungful, I said. We surfaced, blew out the stale air, and filled our lungs with the good, clean ocean air. Hey, what's that? It was Rachel.
What?
I asked her. Over there. It's a helicopter. We all watched as a helicopter flew low and very slowly over the water. It was just a few hundred yards away, and with our dolphin vision, we couldn't see it as well as we might have with our human eyes. But as it flew closer, I could see that it was dragging a cable through the water. Some sort of sensor, Jake speculated. They're looking for something in the water, Marco agreed. It's them, I said. No one argued. We all knew it was true. Controllers were flying that helicopter. The Yerks were here. Chapter 17.
Everyone take in as... Sorry, I had something in my throat again. Everyone, take in as much air as you can.
I said again.
We're going deep.
We dove and swam almost straight down, 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 leaving the bright barrier behind. Away from the sun, away from the light, away from the air that we needed just as much as humans did. I echolocated a school of fish ahead, just below us, but we weren't there to eat lunch. We swam through the fish and still we headed down. Down until we could see the ocean floor beneath us. We leveled off and skimmed across the ocean floor, like low-flying jets racing at treetop level, over waving fields of seaweed.
through darting schools of fish, over jutting extrusions of rock encrusted by barnacles and home to 1,000 bizarre crabs and lobsters and urchins and worms and snails. Ahead was a ridge, sort of a long, low hill. We sailed over it.
Starting to feel like maybe taking a breath would be a good thing,
Rachel said.
How much farther?
We all saw it at the same time. Saw it, yes, but could hardly believe it. I've become used to seeing impossible things. Aliens, spaceships, my own friends turning into animals. But this was just plain mind-boggling. It was round as a plate, a very large plate. From one side to the other, the diameter must have been a half mile. It was covered by a transparent dome. Clear glass or whatever. It is the Andalites use, or whatever it is the Andalites use for glass.
A park in a plastic dome.
No. It was round. Just read my parts. And within the dome.
I actually lost track of where you were going.
And within the dome.
Oh, and within the dome, protected from the crushing force of the water, was what looked very much like a park. A park in a plastic dome. At the bottom of the ocean, there was grass, more blue than green, but it still looked like grass. There were trees like huge stems of broccoli, and other trees like orange and blue asparagus spears. At the center was a small lake, crystal clear blue water. From the water grew fantastic transparent green crystals in shapes like eccentric snowflakes. Whoa, Marco said. Man, Jake commented. Is this what you expected, Cassie? Rachel asked me. I had dreams. I saw flashes of something, but this is unbelievable. I think that maybe a hatch down there,
Marco said.
You see that part that sticks out? Let's try it,
Jake said.
I can't hold my breath much longer.
We arced down toward a part of the glass dome that seemed different from the rest. As we got closer, we could really begin to feel the size of the dome. It was like approaching one of those huge stadiums where they play football. But even bigger, if you can imagine that. Bigger than 100 yards?
It is a hatch.
Rachel, someone reported. It's Rachel. She was a little ahead of the rest of us.
It's some kind of glass door. On the other side, there's a little room. Then another door that leads into the dome. There's a little red panel beside the outer door. Let's either try it or surface.
Marco said urgently. Good urgently, by the way.
That red panel, that's gotta be the doorknob.
Jake said.
Here goes. Let's hope this works.
He pressed his beak against the panel. Instantly, the door opened. The outer door.
We should try this one at a time. See if it's safe.
Marco said.
Not enough time.
I said. My lungs were burning. I needed air. The four of us swam in through the outer door. There was a second red panel. I punched it with my beak and the door closed, sealing us in a small glass room. We could see out and up into the ocean all around, but the side leading into the dome was opaque.
I knew we'd end up in an aquarium sooner or later.
Aquamarine is a color, Marco said. The water began to drain from the room slowly, a little at a time. This opened an area of air at the top of the enclosure. I raised my blowhole and sucked in blessed oxygen.
Okay, let's morph,
Jake said. I had already started. By the time the enclosure was half drained, I could stand on my own human feet.
We made it,
Marco said after his human mouth reformed.
I don't know where we made it to, but we made it.
The enclosure was empty now. The four of us stood there, barefoot, dressed only in our soggy morphing outfits. There was one last red panel beside the door leading into the dome.
Ready?
Jake asked.
As ready as I'll ever be,
Marco said. Jake pressed it with his hand. The door slid open. I felt a wave of warm, incredibly fragrant air rush in. I caught a glimpse of, then a flash of brilliant light, and suddenly I was unconscious. Chapter 18.
I opened my eyes. I was staring straight up. I was on my back. Above me, I could see the ocean all around. High overhead, fish swam by, sparkling. Higher still, I could see the bright barrier between sea and sky. But it was very far away. I rolled my head to the side. Jake was beside me, still unconscious. There was blue grass under my head. I looked the other way.
Do not move.
Oh, shoot.
I stunned you to see what you are. But if you move, I will destroy you.
He stood on four delicate hooves. looking at first glance like a pale blue and tan deer, or antelope. But he had a strong upper body, like a mythical centaur, with two small arms and many fingered hands. His face was almost triangular, built around two huge almond-shaped eyes. There was a small vertical slit where his nose should have been, and nothing where his mouth should have been. From atop his head rose two twin horns, only they were not horns. They each ended in an eye and turned this way and that, independent of his main eyes. He seemed gentle, quizzical, almost delicate, until you noticed the tail. The tail was like a scorpion's. It was thick, powerful, and ended in a wicked scythe blade that literally glittered along its razor-sharp edges. I knew what he was. There's no mistaking an Andalite when you see one. And there was no question about what he was holding in his hand, either. He looked a lot like a Yurk Drake. It looked a lot like a Yurk Drake on me. He's pointing it at me. The others were waking up all around me.
What the...
Marco said.
Please tell me that's a real Andalite, not Visser 3.
Suddenly, without warning, the Andalite's tail arced forward. Blade stopped inches from Marco's throat.
Visser 3, do not speak that name.
The Andalite thought spoke.
Okay.
Marco said slowly.
Whatever you want. We're friends,
I said.
I don't know you,
the Andalite said. He withdrew his tail and Marco started breathing again.
You called me. We've come to help you. Cold? You heard my call.
He fixed all of his eyes on me.
What are you? Human, a person of Earth. I have seen images of your kind. My call was to my cousins. How did you hear it? I don't know,
I admitted.
I heard it in my dreams. So did a friend of mine. We guessed it was an Andalite. We wanted to help. What do you know of the Andalites? My people are not known to humans. You do not travel the stars. You know only your own planet. My elder cousins have taught me this. We knew one Andalite. We were with him when he was killed.
The Andalite narrowed his main eyes.
Who was this Andalite you say was killed?
I searched my memory for his name. He had told us, but it was a strange, long name.
I can't remember all of his name, but part of it was Prince Elfangor.
The Andalite jerked as if he'd been hit. His entire body seemed to quiver. His deadly tail arced high in the air.
Prince Elfangor? No one could kill Prince Elfangor. He's the greatest warrior ever. No one could kill him. Someone did,
Jake said.
We were there. Who? Who do you claim killed Elfangor?
The one whose name you don't want us to speak, I said softly. The Andalite held his head high, but his tail sagged and dragged down to the grass. He lowered his weapon.
He was my brother. Did he die well?
Jake answered.
In battle?
He died protecting us and defying the Yurks to the end. At the very last moment, he struck with every weapon he had. The Andalite closed his main eyes for a brief moment.
My brother was a great warrior. His cousins loved him. His enemies feared him. No more can be said of Andalite, any Andalite warrior.
I was surprised by what Jake said next. I've lost a brother, too.
He's one of them. A controller.
The Andalite opened his eyes.
And you, human? Do you serve the Yurks or fight them? I fight them. We fight them. With what weapons? Do you have a powerful weapon? Only the weapon your brother gave us,
I said.
The power to morph. Elfangor gave you that? It is never done!
He seemed disturbed.
The situation would have to have been very bad for him to give you the morphing capability. The situation is worse than you think,
Marco said.
The Yurks seem to know you're here. Some piece of Andalite wreckage washed up on the shore. They are now on the surface right now.
For the first time, the Andalite seemed uncertain.
What is your plan?
to get you out of here and hide you.
I said.
You came to rescue me? This is true? Yes.
He smiled with
you've been punked!
Just kidding, see you later. Shoot, we were going to be serious. That had to happen, though. He smiled with his eyes, just as Prince Elfangor had done.
You will be tired after this last meal. You will need to rest. A little while, yes.
I agreed.
What is this?
Rachel asked.
This dome, I mean. It's like a park or something. This is the main part of an Andalite dome ship. It is where we live. The engines and the war bridge are in a long section that sticks out from the bottom, with this dome perched on top. Like a mushroom, or an umbrella,
I suggested. The Andalite just looked blank.
Never mind,
I said.
During the great battle in orbit over your planet, the dome ship was separated from the rest of the ship. The dome was separated from the rest of the ship. Why?
The Andalite dug at the grass with his forehoof.
I was too young for battle, by the laws of our people. Besides, the rest of the ship maneuvers better without the dome. You're a kid? I mean, like a young person?
Marco asked.
Yes. Are you the only one left? The only Andalite here? Yes, I am alone. When the blade ship appeared unexpectedly, they caught us off guard. I saw the main section burn. Draken beams damaged the orbital stabilization of this dome. It fell. It splashed into the ocean and sank to the bottom. I have been here for these many weeks, hoping that my cousins would come for me. Hoping that some survived. Finally, I risked sending out a mirror wave call. It works by...
He stopped and looked embarrassed.
I am not supposed to explain Andalite technology. My brother will... He would have been angry with me. Just you survived,
I said sadly.
Just me,
he said.
No prince, no warriors.
I felt a sinking in the pit of my stomach. I think the others felt the same way. I guess we'd all kind of been hoping this Andalite would be like the prince. A leader. Someone who could take over the battle. Someone who would know more than we did.
We're young, too,
I said.
Too young to fight according to the laws of our people. But still you fight. We feel like we don't have a choice. Look, we don't even know your name. This is Jake, Rachel, Marco, I'm Cassie. There's one more. His name is Tobias. I am Eximili Escarath Isthil. We all just
kind of stared.
Axe,
Marco said.
Pleased to meet you. Who is your prince?
One by one, we looked at Jake.
Oh, give me a break,
Jake said.
I am not anyone's prince.
But the Andalite had stepped forward. He bowed his head and lowered his tail.
I will fight for you, Prince Jake, until I can return to my cousins.
Very nice.
Chapter 19.
This is a Dirishthul tree,
Axe said. He pointed to one of the asparagus-like spears that grew straight and tall. He was showing us around while he recuperated from the morphing.
And this we call Anos Armarf. What? That. Oh, I didn't...
I didn't see what he was pointing at.
That. The way the lake curves forward into the grass, framed by Dirishul trees. You have a word for something like that?
I asked.
There are names for all the many ways the water and sky and field interact,
he explained.
And for the way the suns and the moons hang in the sky of our planet, and cast their light in one way or another on the different aspects of the world.
Very naturalist people.
Yep. Hey, I just had a crazy idea. What if you guys share a mic, you do narration, you do Axe's voice because you're freaking rocking it, and I do everybody else's voice, and we'll try and make these last few chapters.
Okay, I'm good.
Awesome. You like that idea? Yeah, you get to be Visser 3.
Yay!
If he shows up. Which I think he does,
up.
Doesn't he?
He shows up. Remember? Woomph.
Oh, really?
It's that book.
It's that book.
Oh, it's that book.
It's that book.
It's that book. It's the Woomph book.
But we have to get there.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm doing voices, you're doing narration, you're doing the voice.
And where are we doing it, Kyle? Really quick.
We're doing it on KDUP 1580. we're reading on KDUP 1580 AM. Or on kdup.up.edu. How can you call us, CJ?
I hate you.
943
503-943-7121. That's 943-7121. No, not 503-943-7121. And if you act now, we'll throw in a complimentary rant on the TV show.
Oh, no.
Or you can call on the extension if you're on campus, which is just, you know, 7121.
Please email us.
You can email us at
animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
Check us out on the line.
On the interweb. The series of tubes.
Invented on by the Al Gore.
Invented by Al Gore. The series of tubes. On the Facebook group, which is Animorphs Radio Drama, not uncensored. Or there's a live journal community that seems to enjoy discussing us. I don't remember what they are.
Oh, quick.
Fans of the Animorphs.
Community.
Community.livejournal.com/Animorphs.
That's community.
Livejournal.com/Animorphs. Now we're going to hear some Elton John. Because...
we can.
Because we're low-key radio people.
I actually don't have any Elton John. I just like that low-key radio voice.
Today in national news, the fish was delish. And according to UN Secretary Council members, it made quite a dish. You're listening to Animorphs.
Public radio.
Woo-hoo! All right, let's rock this.
I love
this.
That part.
We're on Rachel Caught My Eye.
Rachel Caught My Eye.
You're not reading.
I know. I thought, okay.
Oh, Rachel caught my eye and silently mouthed the words,
"He's cute."
Then she winked.
Hot!
I wasn't sure I agreed. Andalites are halfway between looking cute and looking scary. You can get past the weird stock eyes and the fact that they don't have mouths, at least not that you can see. But that scorpion-like tail is far from cute. It reminded me of the sharks.
You all live here?
Marco wondered.
I mean, just out in the open, out on the grass?
Where else would we live? Here we have space to run. There must always be space to run.
There must be space to run.
We must protect his house!
What?
It's from Red versus Blue. Yeah. Awesome.
Shout
awesome.
Out to Red versus Blue.
Yeah, check it out. Check it out.
This is actually... Ooh, oh!
Flashing! Flashing!
Press the button. Press the button.
Hello, you're on Animorphs.
Radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hey, I was just, listening to you guys talk about the TV show. That was actually supposed to be on, when I first read about it, like on those first announcements, it was actually supposed to be on the Disney Channel, produced by Disney.
Oh, really? Oh, and it would have been good.
That probably would have been worse.
Yeah, that's possible. They probably would have done this.
Yeah, are you still guys archiving your shows?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, I've just been on your trend demo blast, you ones I missed.
Oh, yeah?
They're not on there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put them up.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay, cool. That's all. Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, I called a few weeks ago, Utah.
Oh,
nice.
All right,
thanks.
Another Utah.
Yeah.
Mike, right?
The original.
Lynn.
Oh, you were close.
I wasn't close. I'm sorry.
We apologize for Matt.
Well, thank you very much for your call. Continue listening because we're hoping for more listeners.
How much longer are you guys going on?
Actually, this is our last show.
this is our last show until this summer.
And we're going until we finish the book tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're not going to start on book 5 tonight then?
No.
Unfortunately, we have fun.
Good luck with your end of term stuff.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, guys. Hope to see you next year or next fall.
Yeah,
right.
This fall.
Hope to hear you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
I love how I invite you. Thank you, Disney, for not doing a worse job than Nickelodeon.
Moving on.
Yeah. Even though you didn't get the chance to. It might be.
I don't know.
I have to write that down.
Pen.
Aha.
Penning. Stop.
Yes, we take our home with us into space. Oh, wait.
There must always be space to run. It's my line. This is actually being on another planet. Oh, this is like actually being on another planet.
Yes, we take our home with us into space. It angers the Yerks.
What are you doing? His line.
Jake
marveled.
Grimly.
Jake marveled.
Come on, like, good. Like the comics.
The professionals.
This is all
like part of the Andalite world.
Yes.
Yes, we take our home with us into space. It angers the Yerks.
He said grimly.
Sorry. Why do they care what you take into space?
Marco Axted?
It is a part of everything they hate and would destroy if they could. The Yerks would take our world and make it as barren as their own, as they will to your planet unless they are stopped.
He said. I grabbed Axe's arm.
What? What are you saying? What do you mean about making the planet barren?
Here comes the hippie. He turned his big eyes on me.
The usual Yerk pattern. Once a planet is under their control, they alter it to suit their own desires. They will leave enough plant and animal species to keep the host bodies fed, humans in the case of Earth, and the rest they will eliminate.
He said it like it was obvious, like it was just something I should know. He started to move on, but I held his arm tightly.
Wait! I don't think I understand you. What do you mean, they eliminate species?
They eliminate them. They will make Earth as much like the Yerk homeworld as possible. They will destroy most of the plants and all the animal species except those they eat.
I let go of his arm. I rocked back and grabbed at the air for balance. I felt like I'd been hit by a gas-guzzling, carbon-emitting car.
No!
I whispered.
They can't be. You're just saying that because you don't like Yerks.
The others were staring. No one was moving. Axe looked around at us. His eyes narrowed.
Don't you know? Don't you know whom you're fighting?
Notice that's whom you're fighting and not who you are fighting.
Because we know they take over people's minds.
Rachel said weakly.
Yes, and that is one of their great crimes. But the Yerks are more than that. Yerks are killers of worlds. Murderers of life. All life. Hated and feared throughout the galaxy. They are a plague that spreads from world to world, leaving nothing but desolation and slavery and misery in their wake.
Some good snacks, though. I felt cold, small and weak and cold and afraid. She's into the Aeons, this book, isn't she? I looked around, but even the inviting, lush Andalite landscape did nothing...
Lush.
Andalite landscape did nothing to warm me up. Up in the sky all around us, I felt the immense pressure of the ocean waiting to rush in. Claustrophobia.
There are only three races left in all the known galaxy that still fight the Yerks.
Axe said proudly.
And only the Andalites can stop them.
How long until your people return to Earth?
I asked. He hesitated.
One of your years. Maybe two.
2 years?
Jake looked stricken. I went to his side and slipped my arm through his.
5 kids against an enemy that has destroyed half the galaxy? 5 of us?
Axe gave that smile, the one he did with his eyes. Suddenly I was conflicted.
6, my prince,
he said.
6?
Shame on you.
Well then,
Marco said with a grim sarcasm.
With 6, it shouldn't be any problem. How did these Yerks get this far?
Rachel demanded.
How did this happen? If you Andalites are so tough, why didn't you stop them a long time ago? How did a bunch of slugs who live in dirty pools, ponds, manage to become so powerful?
Axe looked at her.
I am forbidden to tell certain things.
For now. Rachel's eyes narrowed dangerously.
You're telling us. All of planet Earth may be scheduled for destruction, and we are the only thing standing in the way, and you're going to keep secrets from us. I don't think so.
The Andalite looked angry, but no angrier than Rachel. 1 minute. One second. I have the perfect song for this. Where is
it? Look. I feel ready to morph again.
I said, interrupting the tension. Rachel was angry because she was afraid. What Axe had told us had shaken her. It had shaken all of us. I guess we felt enough pressure already.
We didn't really need to think that every living thing on the planet was depending on us. It was kind of a lot to handle.
Cassie's right,
Jake said.
It's time. Let's get going before it's too late.
I followed him along with all the others as we crossed alien land, heading for an environment just as alien, the ocean. I wish I could forget what Axe had told us. I wish I could stop seeing the pictures in my head of an Earth without birds, and trees, an earth where the ocean was empty and dead.
Don't you know whom you're fighting?
The Andalite had asked. Yes, now I knew. I knew whom I was fighting.
Chapter 20.
Hey, I have a stupid question,
Marco said.
What?
Jake asked. Marco jerked his thumb toward the Andalite axe.
How do we get him out of here?
Jake looked blank.
Axe, I don't suppose you can swim. Swim really well, I mean. We're a long, long way from land.
I would not swim in this body. I would morph a sea creature.
Like what?
Marco asked bluntly.
We have to travel far and fast.
I have acquired a creature from this ocean. It was a large creature who swam close one day. I stunned him and acquired him. I thought he would be useful if I was to escape.
Oh, awkward.
The more you...
No. What kind of animal? What did he...
I stopped suddenly. I'd felt something. A shadow. I looked up through the air of the dome, through the clear dome itself, and up through the water. It was on the surface. A cigar-shaped shadow riding the surface of the sea.
That's a ship.
No, it's a seal, I said.
Up there. I think it stopped. Let's get out of here. Now.
Jake snapped. We ran for the hatch. Ah, I see you have the machine that goes ping.
We call it Mr. Ping.
You missed it. The sound echoed through the dome.
Sonar.
Marco hissed.
You didn't hiss.
Sonar.
Marco hissed.
There we go.
How do you know?
Rachel asked.
Didn't you ever see The Hunt for Red October? Great movie. Now let's leave.
Just give me one ping.
They found us.
Ping. It's echoing. That's what the thing is.
Yeah, echo.
We crammed inside the small hatched enclosure, the four of us and Axe.
Morph.
Jake yelled. I had already started. I could feel the dolphin features emerging.
Sorry.
My friends were beginning to mutate. Water rushed into the chamber, swirling around our legs.
Yeah.
Axe was changing too. It almost broke my concentration watching him. In their normal forms, Andalites are savage enough. When they morph, it is totally bizarre. Instead of two legs shriveling and disappearing, it was four. And then there were the stock eyes. And the tail. And the tail, which lost its scythe blade but split into a new kind of tail with the long, raked vertical blade and shorter lower blade. The water swept up to my neck, but by that time it was more dolphin than human. The explosion shuddered through the dome. It rattled my teeth. I felt like my eardrums would explode.
Yikes.
Jack said. He said the word in our heads the way his brother had, with hatred and rage so deep it was impossible to comprehend it. A second explosion that echoed for no good reason. Suddenly, the exterior door opened and we swam out in a rush. Four dolphins and one... shark! I'd been distracted by the explosions. Axe said morphed a shark.
Oh, good choice, Axe.
Marco said.
You morphed a shark?
Is it wrong?
The Andalite wondered.
Your species and ours are mortal enemies.
I explained.
Oh, I have a lot to learn about Earth.
Here's the first lesson. Let's get out of here!
Marco screamed. I soared up through the water, angling toward the distant surface, but as I rose, I looked behind me. There were two jagged holes in the dome. Water was gushing in like Niagara Falls. As I watched, a third dark cylinder was falling slowly from the surface. Even I had seen enough submarine movies to know it was a depth charge.
What hosts have these yurks used?
Asked demanded urgently.
Hosts? You mean bodies? Controllers? They use Hork-Bajir and humans.
I answered.
Hork-Bajir do not swim.
Axe said.
We may be safe. The yurks know little of deep waters. They have no oceans on their world, only shallow pools.
Good,
Jake said.
All they've had here are Hork-Bajir and taxons, of course.
Taxons?
Yes. Is that a problem?
We were near the surface now. Show doesn't have taxons. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't!
No. Just on a larger...
Oh, my gosh!
We were near the surface now, just a dozen feet from the bright barrier of sea and sky.
The Hork-Bajir probably swims. Oh, God, we can't get off task.
Just then, a larger darker shadow swept over us. A shadow that was dark inside of dark. A shadow that touched your soul. It skimmed just above the surface of the water. It was shaped like a long battle axe. Twin semicircular blades at the back. A long diamond-headed point at the front. the blade ship, Abyssa 3.
Dum 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 dum.
Something was falling from it as it passed over us. There were a dozen splashes. I rolled over to get a better look. What I saw made my flesh crawl. Taxons in the water, coming toward us.
Those nasty worms can swim?
Marco yelled, but the answer was obvious. The taxons, 10-foot-long centipedes, bristling with dozens of 10-foot pairs of sharp needle legs, racing after us, and they were very fast in the water. Very fast. From this angle, we couldn't see the several red jelly eyes, but we could see the circular mouth at the top of each vile body. I'd seen Taxon straining to catch bits of Prince Elfangor as Visser 3 devoured him. I'd seen Taxons, on orders from Visser 3, devour one of their own.
Tell me,
Axe said.
I have the feeling that this body I am in might be able to fight. Is this true?
I grinned inwardly.
Yes, Axe. Yes, Axe. Then, sharks can fight.
Then, Prince Jake, shall we deal with these Taxon scum?
You Taxon scum.
Don't call me Prince.
Jake said.
And the answer is yes. Let's go kick some Taxon butt.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 21. There were a dozen Taxons in the water. Five of us swimming in a straight line. The Taxons were faster. But as we soon discovered, we were more maneuverable.
Pick a target.
Stay on target, Jake said tersely.
Stay on target.
I focused on one of the big worms, but I had to force myself into the fight.
Behind.
This was not a shark, and the dolphin's instinctive dislike of sharks was not there to prod me. I had to find the will to fight in my own human mind. It's not such an easy thing. I had fought the Yerks to preserve human freedom. Now I fought them to help the entire world.
Man, oh, God, the whole world.
Still, fighting doesn't come naturally to me because I'm a hippie. And yet, I know what I had to do. The Yerks would show no mercy. If the Taxons won, we would be killed or worse. I powered toward one of the Taxons as he powered toward me. We were like two trains running on the same track, head to head.
At the last possible second, with the gaping red mouth of the Taxon just a foot away, I zoomed sideways, arched my back, and rammed the Taxon's side. I'd expected it to be like the shark, hard, tough, unyielding. It was not. It was like hitting a soggy paper bag with a sledgehammer. The Taxon burst like a dropped watermelon. I wanted to throw up. I beat the water with my tail and recoiled from the horrible scene I had created. All around me, the battle raged. Dolphin against Taxon, and Axe's shark against Taxon. Scientists believe that sharks are one of the oldest species of animals still in existence. Nature built them as perfect predators, perfect killing machines. Nature hasn't had to revise or update them much. They were built right the first time.
Dolphins are very different. Scientists say that millions of years ago, dolphins were land animals. Sea mammals are not very different from humans and other mammals. They evolved their way back into the ocean. Part of that evolution included learning to cope with predators, with killer sharks, killer whales and sharks. Killer sharks are killer too. I don't know what the sea the Taxon race evolved in. I don't know what natural predators they faced there, but they were not ready for this ocean. They were not ready to go one-on-one with the masters of Earth's deep seas. They were no match for dolphin or shark.
Yarr!
Okay, let's get out of here.
Jake ordered.
They've had enough. Not so tough, are they?
Rachel asked, trying to sound tough herself. But she seemed shaky to me. That's enough. I like that song, but
it's a good song. I shot to the surface and filled my lungs with warm evening air. The sun was dropping toward the horizon. Two ships were close by and steaming in our direction.
But far worse was the blade ship, which hovered just now just 100 yards up in the air.
We can't waste any more time,
Marco said.
The plan was to head back for one of those little channel islands, unmorph, rest, and then take the rest of the distance. But even the island is almost 2 hours away at top speed. We have to make a run for it. Or we'll have to choose between being trapped in morph or drowning. And that's not a great choice. You're right, Marco,
Jake said.
Top speed for the nearest island.
How do you tell time?
Jake asked, or Axe asked.
Sometimes we carry a watch. Sometimes, like now, we just have to guess and hope for the best.
With your permission, I will keep track of the time.
You have a watch?
No, but I have the ability to keep track of time.
Axe said. How convenient.
Machina de you.
Well, it makes sense.
Deus ex machina.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, if they morph all their lives, I mean, they might as well
good enough. Develop it.
Anyway, good enough.
Marco said.
How much time left?
We have been in war for approximately 30% of the safe time.
30%?
I think KA really hates math. I tried to think. Math was never my best subject. It's hard to be mathematical when you've just come from a battle and are scared half to death.
That would be about 36 minutes. Which means we have an hour and 24 minutes left.
I heard a huge concussion behind me, like someone had dropped a big truck in the water.
What was that?
Marco wondered.
Okay, this is the unfortunate scene.
Something hit the water.
I said.
Something big.
Womp, womp, womp.
Okay, now what was that?
Rachel asked. I rose to the surface to breathe and look around. The two surface ships were still closing in, but they were not very fast, and they were not gaining on us. The blade ship had disappeared. I scanned the sky in all directions, but I couldn't see it.
Does anyone see the blade ship?
I asked.
Does anyone see that I did?
I asked.
No, but that doesn't mean it isn't still nearby.
Jake said.
It may have recloaked.
Womp! Womp! Womp!
What is that? Whatever it is, it's getting closer.
I said. Suddenly I remembered that I was not limited to the usual human senses. I fired off a rapid series of echolocating clicks. I'm having trouble with that word. The picture came back. That came back was startling.
It's something in the water. Big. Huge. The size of a whale, but not moving like a whale.
Jake, Marco, and Rachel all echolocated.
It's after us, whatever it is.
Rachel said.
It's big. It's fast. And it's after us.
Marco agreed.
Womp. 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 Womp.
I rose to breathe again and looked back. At just that moment, I saw, far behind me, a huge dark red, almost purple hump above the water. It seemed to be covered with hundreds of small fish tails, all beating frantically. I went under.
Axe, there's something back there. I don't think it's from Earth.
I described it to him, at least what I'd seen of it.
Mardret,
Axe said.
Mardret? What does that mean?
A Mardret is a beast that lives in the oceans of one of our own Andalite moons. To think of that filthy yerk scum on our own moon, acquiring our animals.
Axe, look, what is a Mardret?
I asked him.
It is a very large creature that swims by shooting water out of three large chambers. It makes a sound,
womp, womp, womp.
A sound like that?
Marco asked.
Yes.
Axe said.
I guess so. I did not recognize it. I have only heard it once, and that was in school, and, well, I wasn't paying much attention.
There was this cute Andalite a couple rows up, and she was just...
I liked her tail blade.
It almost made
me
laugh.
So exquisitely blue.
It almost made me laugh. The image of an Andalite classroom with our Andalite students zoned out to the lesson, just like we did. But it was really wasn't a good time for laughing.
Womp, womp, womp.
But this is no true Mardret,
Axe said.
No.
Jake agreed.
Then you know who and what is chasing us?
Axe seemed surprised.
You understand that this is Visa 3 in a morph?
We've met before,
Rachel said tersely.
You have fought Visa 3? And you still live?
That definitely surprised the Andalite.
I honor you.
Yeah, well, swell. Thanks,
Marco said dryly.
But I'd trade honor for a good outboard engine so I could outrun that evil creep.
Womp! Womp! Womp!
Somebody else has to do this.
Chapter 22. Chase music.
Oh!
The creature Vista 3 had become did not tire. We did. I felt like I had been swimming forever. Half an hour into the chase, I was exhausted. We had been powering through the water at panic speed, fighting every current, fighting the terrible urge to resist to rest as our tails weakened, fighting the growing hunger.
Womp, womp, womp.
The Mardret never tired. It never weakened. It gained on us a foot at a time, bit by bit. I could see it now, a huge purple and red mottled bag that undulated and oozed through the water. It was propelled by three
undulated.
Huge...
And oozed.
Three huge water sacks firing one after another. Between those loud bursts, the hundreds of tiny tails that covered its entire surface thrashed and kept up the momentum.
Womp, womp, womp.
Then he spoke.
We had all heard that silent voice in our heads before. It was like hearing the most terrible curses. It was like pure malice and hatred poured directly into our brains.
I am coming for you, brave and light warriors.
Visser 3 sneered.
I am coming for you.
That voice churned up my insides. I felt my own hatred flaring up to match his. The image's axe had painted an earth brown and empty and filled with nothing but the slaves of the Yerks. I had lived my entire life without feeling hatred. I'm a hippie. It is a sickening feeling for a hippie. It burns and burns, and sometimes you think it's a fire that will never go out in
for
a hippie.
A hippie.
I am coming for you. You will be mine.
No, say that again.
You will be mine.
You will be mine.
Shall I make you controllers, or shall I simply eat you? The time for me to decide draws near. You weaken. Your time runs short.
Whoomp, whoomp, whoomp.
We had all been exposed to Visser 3, axe and not. He seemed to shudder, even in his shark body. The dead shark eyes showed no emotion, but his swimming became erratic.
Axe,
I said to him. He did not answer.
Axe, we have heard his voice before. We've heard his threats, and we are still alive.
He will kill us,
Axe said.
He will kill us. He killed Alfangol.
Axe, hang in there. Don't answer him. Don't think about him. Just swim.
But Axe's fear was catching. He was right. We didn't have enough time to make it to land without being trapped in our dolphin bodies, and we would never escape him anyway. I glanced back. He was only 5 body lengths away. I demanded still more from my burning muscles, but there was nothing more to ask.
This is the end, Cassie.
I told myself.
This is the end.
I felt the terrible hatred surge in me again, but I didn't want to end my life that way. I would not die with hate in my heart. That would be one victory I could deny, Mr. 3.
Oh my god.
I let my mind drift even as my shattered body struggled to go on. I felt my mind floating back to the barn and all the animals there. To my father, my mother. To Jake.
Ah!
It's in the book!
It's in the book! We didn't write that off.
I remembered good things. Riding the high thermals with Tobias and the
Jake.
Others. With wings spread wide.
With
good
Jake.
Old days. Sitting at my grandmother's feet as she told me the story of our family. Of all the generations who had lived on and worked on the farm.
Next to Jake.
And then a more recent memory surfaced.
Jake.
The whale.
And Jake.
I remembered this huge, gentle silence filling my mind.
Yeah,
it was
Jake.
I could even hear Jake's song. No,
exactly.
The whale's
song.
Wait, I could hear his song.
It was Jake.
This wasn't memory.
He was humming.
I was hearing this plaintive, haunting song reverberating through the water. And it sounded a lot like this.
Yeah! Oh man, you're on a roll tonight, dude.
Wait, listen for it. He was not far away. I opened my mind and let my human consciousness slip away. I let go. I invited the dolphin mind, the mind that loved to play and loved to fight and loved the feeling of soaring out of the water right up into the air like a bird, to surface in my head. I fired echolocating bursts, 1,000 quick clicks that compressed into a few seconds. And more than that, I cried for help. It was foolish, it was ridiculous, but I cried out in a silent plea, like a child with a nightmare calling for her mother. The monster... Oh, that's you.
The monster is after me! The destroyer! The evil one! Help me!
Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
We have used 80% of our time,
Axe managed to say.
24 minutes left?
Marcos gasped.
It doesn't matter, I'm done for.
Rachel admitted.
I can't keep going. He's too close. It's time to turn and fight.
Whoomp! Whoomp! Whoomp!
We can't possibly win,
Axe said.
We know,
Jake said.
But if I have to lose, I'd rather lose fighting than let him catch us one by one.
That is a very Andalite thing to say,
Axe said.
We have a lot in common. I wish it had ended differently.
On the count of three,
Jake said.
One, two, let's go!
We stop. We turn to face the Mudrut. Mardrut.
Jake.
I said.
I've wanted to tell you something.
Yes. Me too, Cassie.
He
Every
said.
Every day of my life, I wanted to tell you something.
No, you ruin it. Let's go back to
Sorry. Yes. Me too, Cassie.
No, he said.
The line before.
Oh.
Jake.
I said.
I wanted to tell you. Yes, me too, Cassie.
He said,
"Womp, womp."
Oh, I forgot that's funny. That's not saying
we'll
something.
We'll leave it up to your imagination. What's
it's
that
a very
about.
Unfortunate
Redden,
sequence of events.
Speaking of which, Red and Purple Behemoth.
Red and Purple. They could have picked different colors there.
Name this movie. Behemoth. Thank you. Rushed at us. I shook with terror, but I was too tired to swim away.
Shake, 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 shake.
Help me.
I cried one last time, but I knew there was no one to help, and then I let it all go and said goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Just kidding, we're still here. We gotta finish the book.
Chapter 23. I've made up my mind what to do with you, Visser 3 said. Whoa, that was like three different voices. Anyway. After this long chase, I am really quite hungry.
Pork delivery's late.
He rushed at us. We rushed at him. Something dark came hurtling up from the ocean floor. Something dark and long and bigger even than the Mardrett. Mr. Three shuddered and stopped dead in the water. A second dark shape as fast as the first.
The great ones.
I whispered.
It's the whale!
Marco yelled. There were five of them in the water. The two big males who had struck first had heads like sledgehammers. Sperm whales. 60 feet long. 65 tons. The weight of 50 cars. They had dived deep and come tearing up at an awesome velocity to slam into the creature from another world's ocean. The Mardrett was big. The Mardrett was strong, but nothing living can survive for long, being slammed by creatures weighing 130,000 pounds. Then the whale, my whale, because that's how I thought of him, began to lash the Mardrett with his tail. Hammer blows! Hits that could have knocked his walls down. Again and again, his two smaller females joined in, and the two sperm whales circled back for another attack.
He's retreating! He's running!
Mr. Three's cry of pain and fury echoed in my brain. Jake crowed. He's running, Rachel said.
Ha ha. Wait, stand up. He's retreating! He's running!
Rachel said.
Ha ha! Sorry, I got too excited when I saw that.
That was awesome. I'm not gonna lie, that was good whale music.
I do not think Visser 3 likes whales very much.
Marco yelled.
I don't think he likes
Roll
them
me,
at
Jack!
All!
The whales chased him for a while, but they let him go in the end.
Oh, gosh, whales just, you know, they bring music with them. God, is anybody else in the studio just tingling?
Yeah.
I'm still tingling.
I'm tingling.
That is awesome music. I'm so sorry that the movie that came from sucked.
What movie
was
that?
That's such good music. A series of unfortunate events.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of, that wasn't that good.
I haven't
good
read the books,
music.
Though. So I wouldn't know.
Good books.
Yeah,
speaking of which.
Let's finish.
Ah.
Okay, I'll narrate. Whales are not very good for killing. They don't really have much of a talent for hating and destroying. My whale, the big humpback, returned in a few minutes and rested in the water beside me. I wanted to thank him, but, as I said, whales don't think in human words or human thoughts. Still, I tried anyway.
Thanks, big guy.
People who argue about how smart whales are, or whether they are as smart as humans, kind of miss the point. Whales will never read books or build rockets or do algebra. In all those areas, humans are smarter. Humans are the great brains of planet Earth. But it isn't necessary to believe whales are as smart as humans to believe they are great. They don't have to know words to sing songs. They don't have to be anything but what they are to be magnificent. And even though I don't really know what a soul is, I know this. If humans have them, then so do whales. I wanted to thank him for responding to my call for help. But I had a strange feeling as he opened his great heart to the dolphin mind that was in my own, that he hadn't just come in response to me. I had a feeling, and that's all it was, a feeling, that in some way the sea itself had called him to respond to the presence of an abomination. Of course, I never told that to Jake or any of the others. They would have laughed, as we did. At least Marco would have. Morph time is almost up, Jake said. Or Axe said.
I think if we morph, the whale will carry us until we are ready to morph again.
I said. So we morphed back into our human bodies, and Axe morphed to his analyte body, and we crawled up on the whale's huge back. I fell asleep. I know that sounds pretty incredible, but I did. I was exhausted. Physically, emotionally. Jake wore me out. In every way, you can be tired. I was tired.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
I woke up, it was sunset. We were near shore. I could see the beach, and just a little farther down the shore, the mouth of the river. We were wet, of course, covered with splashing water and the spray from the whale's blowhole. It was a little cold, especially now that the sun was going down.
Listening.
What?
I hope Doug's not listening.
But then again, I wasn't Visser 3's lunch, so I wasn't going to complain. Jake was sitting cross-legged on the whale's back, smiling at me.
Was it good for you, too?
Someday, huh?
He said. I smiled.
Yeah. We did it. Like we'd never done it before, we did it.
Jake, stop!
We saved the Andalites.
If that's what they're calling it these days.
And we got out alive. Barely.
I said.
You know something? You were right. You trusted your feelings, and we followed you, and we're all safe.
I nodded.
Yes, I guess so. Only, as Marco would say, let's not do this again anytime soon, okay?
Jake smiled his slow, dreamy smile.
It's fun being a dolphin, though, isn't it? I know you were worried about it. You know, thinking maybe it wasn't right and all.
I shook my head slowly.
Dang it, Cassie, it was right.
It felt so right.
Beautiful!
Shut up!
I'm still not sure it's right, but I guess we don't have much of a choice. The Yerks started this fight, not us. And after what Axe said, better start repopulating now. I guess it's not just about one species
of
human beings.
Oh.
It's about all the animals.
It's about all the innuendo.
It's about all of Earth.
Jake nodded.
I think if you could ask the dolphins, they would say it's all right to use them.
It's okay for you to use our body. We're cool.
Since what you're trying to do is save them. Nah, they would just think it was all a big game. They would never understand.
They don't even get the tuna fish guy thing. We both laughed. Ah! We both laughed. Even if they could talk, the dolphins would never really understand what we were so upset about. We knew that better than anyone.
I guess that's true,
Jake said.
But we do understand.
He met my gaze.
We do understand what's at stake. And we'll do whatever we have to do to win.
I knew what he was trying to tell me, and I responded accordingly. I rushed over to him, threw my arms around his neck, and just planted a big old smackaroo right on him.
And then we made love on the back of the
You went there! All these
Shame on you!
You actually went there!
Shame on you. I knew what he was trying
to do. Actually, she woke up from a daydream and finished the sentence.
We used the dolphins to save them. We used other animals to save them, too, and that made it okay.
Chapter 24.
This is the last chapter.
I believe so.
Almost. We have two, actually.
Oh.
We morphed once more into our dolphin bodies and swam down the river to the place where we had entered the water. We beached ourselves in the shallow water and returned to our human bodies.
Feels good to be human again,
Jake said. Marco said.
Oh, Jake, you were never actually human to begin with.
I guess it was funny, but we were all too tired to laugh. We dug our clothes and shoes out of their hiding place. I pulled jeans and a sweatshirt on over my wet morphing suit. I shoved muddy feet into my boots. Strange, Axe said, watching us very closely. What is the meaning of things you place on your bodies?
It's clothing,
Rachel explained.
It's my life.
Why do you wear it? Does it protect you from the environment?
Yes. That, plus the fact that people get very upset when you walk around, naked.
Marco answered.
Well, something.
There was a fluttering overhead. One of the shadow branches dipped with a sudden weight.
Is that you, Tobias?
I asked. Yes, you... You fa- Oh.
No, you can do Tobias, too.
No, I don't want to.
Yes, oh. You.
Yes, you. You found an Andalite. Yes, Tobias. Meet Axe. That's his nickname, anyway. Axe, meet Tobias. Tobias is one of us. Sort of, anyway.
Tobias said dryly.
I liked this morph so much, I moved in permanently.
The Andalite was shocked. You were trapped?
Yes.
Axe turned his eyes on me, then looked from each one of us to the next. He seemed very solemn. You have paid a price for the gift from my brother Elfangor.
Prince Elfangor was your brother?
Tobias demanded. His hawk's eyes glittered.
I was with him at the end.
Hawks can't cry.
This is all fun.
Jake interrupted.
But we have to get out of here. And we have to decide what to do with Axe. He can't exactly just go walking around town with us. I think he should come to my farm. It's not so different from the dome ship. Fields, meadows, woods, all the way into the national forest land. He'd have to be careful, but it's the only place we have to hide him. That still doesn't deal with how we're going to get him there.
Marco pointed out.
It's a long walk. People are going to notice a big blue deer with extra eyes and a scorpion tail.
I must morph, Axe said.
Yeah, but into what?
Rachel wondered. Then, to my surprise, Axe walked over to me. He placed one delicate, many-fingered hand on my face.
With your permission,
he said. I felt myself getting spacey. Not sleepy, exactly, but sort of like I was in a trance.
Like,
I realized what he was
Jake.
Doing. He was acquiring me. He was absorbing my DNA.
Excuse me, but, you're going to morph Cassie?
Marco asked.
Can you do that?
Axe went to Marco and touched his face. One by one, Axe acquired each of us. And then he began to morph. I've seen a lot of strange morphings, but nothing was ever like this. Axe wasn't becoming an animal. He was becoming a human being. But a human being we all knew in some ways. A melding of the four human animorphs. His front legs began to shrivel away. His back legs thickened and strengthened. Suddenly, a mouth appeared in his Andalite face. The scorpion tail shrank and disappeared. He reared up and stood erect.
You know, I think we better give Axe some privacy.
Last talk of making
I suggested,
this in the book.
Ever. Is he going to be a boy or a girl?
Marco wondered.
Either way, let's turn our heads.
I said, we did. Probably just in time.
Hey, Axe? In the pile of clothes, there's an extra pair of boxers and a t-shirt.
Jake said.
Put them on, okay?
How did they
A few minutes
that?
Later, we turned around. We all stared. Axe had the t-shirt pulled up like a baggy pair of shorts. The boxers were on his head.
Okay.
Jake said.
A few small adjustments needed. Axe, are you male or female? I chose... that's you.
I chose to be male. He stopped suddenly, eyes wide. He was surprised by his mouth. It was not something Andalites understood. I chose male because I am male. Word. Male. Is that a good choice? Choice.
He twisted
his lips around and stuck it out of his tongue. Strange, he said.
Male is fine.
Jake said.
Rachel, Cassie, turn around. Marco and I will help Axe adjust his clothing.
When I looked again, Axe was dressed normally, but he did not look normal. He was of medium height, a perfect balance between Marco and Rachel. What?
Matt wants part of the show, too.
Okay.
He was of medium height, a perfect balance between Rachel and Marco. Sorry. He was of medium build, somewhere between Jake and Marco. His hair was brown, with just a little of Rachel's gold and a little of my curl. His skin was the color of light brown sugar, a blending of my brown and Marco's olive and Jake and Rachel's pale white.
Oh, they mentioned it!
Wait, olive. Weird.
Olive, because Marco is a pimento. He was human and yet somehow strange. He jerked his head this way and that.
Oh. How do you look? Look. Look. How do you look around? Behind.
Ound. A nice round sound.
Ground.
Ground. I will call it ground. I wonder if it will be friends with me.
Good reference. Sorry. Good reference. Especially with the whales from the last scene.
I grinned. It was exactly like every time I first morphed a new animal. He was getting used to his new body. Or at least trying to. As I watched him play with his lips and try out new sounds, he suddenly tumbled forward. Jake grabbed him and held him.
You know, you only have two legs now, Axe,
he said.
Yes, two. Ooh, very shaky.
Yeah, we're a shaky species,
Marco said.
Well, let's get out of here,
Jake said.
Axe,
I said.
Don't talk to any strangers on the way home, okay?
Chapter 25. It was a couple days later, after we had recovered, after I made sure that Axe was safe in the far fields of our farm, away from curious eyes, I waited till dark and changed again into the seagull morph. I flew out of my barn and through the night to the gardens. It was closed and empty. Oh gosh, this ending, I forgot. Aside from a few scattered security guards, they would have stopped me if I had tried to enter normally, but no one was looking out for seagulls. I landed near the dolphin tank and became human again. There were no lights on and just a sliver of moon. But I could hear the dolphins swimming. One came over to me, curious about why a human would be hanging around at night.
Hi,
I said.
Sorry, I don't have any food for you.
Then I climbed up on the side of the tank. I let myself go, slipping into the cool water. Three of the dolphins came over to take a look. This was definitely something unusual. Some strange human was getting into the pool with them. This was a new game. I began to morph. This definitely got their attention. All six dolphins swam around, looking at me, sideways at me, back at me, and then as they passed. And slowly, I became one of them. It was a dumb thing to do, really. I knew it was dumb, but it felt like something I had to do. I wanted to show them what I had done. I wanted their permission to become one of them. I wanted to find some way to tell them everything. But, you know, once I was in that dolphin body again, it was hard to remember all my solemn worries. It was hard to remember why I had come. Hard to remember fear and worry and guilt. One of them came over, gave me a nudge, then shot toward the surface. She exploded in the air and fell back, as silent and as smooth as an arrow. They were asking me to play. They were asking me to dance with them.
Dance with me, Cassie, dance with me.
And so I did. And so ends Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
For now.
Until spring
next time.
2007. So, just so people know, since it's about 1:40 in the morning here, and I have finals that I haven't studied for, I'm gonna head back to Christie straight. I don't think I'm gonna.
Yeah,
go.
I don't think we're gonna make it to the Cove.
I
might stop by and say hi, but I'm gonna be.
We'll all celebrate though sometime, the ending of the show.
This song is take 5. We'll be taking 12 weeks.
Yeah.
You've been listening to KDUP 1580 AM online at kdup.up.edu.
If you were to call the cool CD changer that we have in the studio after we leave, the phone number is 503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121. Or just call extension 7121 if you're on campus. If you want to email us, we'll be checking our email repeatedly all the way through the summer. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. No, it's fine. It's fine. Let me finish.
Okay.
And then, you can email us at animorph_radio@up.edu. Or no, yahoo.com, sorry. And then
do we have it hooked up?
Facebook right group. Check out that Lion Turtle community because they're awesome in supporting us. And it's just been really awesome.
Thanks, guys. Been awesome. You've been a great audience. And so, it'd be fitting that we fade out.
Dave Brubeck.
Good night.
Good night, and we'll see you soon.
Good night, America.
Post stuff on Facebook.
Good night, America.
Opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KUP, its parent, or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.